Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Welcome to a special question bucket edition of, I don't know, whatever is going to be this special Waypoint Plus feed. I'm Austin, Rob and Patrick are here. We asked people to send us a bunch of questions about Waypoint Plus, E3, some other stuff. And so I put together a slideshow with everyone's questions. I'm presenting this to the class.
Wait, hold on, back up.
Oh, you know what? Yes, number one. Yep. Shout outs to Stephen Maurice Graham, who made this incredible Waypoint art, Waypoint Plus art, before Waypoint existed. This predates Waypoint. This is classic Vice gaming art. Right. Stephen Maurice Graham, who is on Twitter. I've been meaning to say this literally all week.
We used that art so many times in stories that didn't have good
100%.
Art. It was like, it's an indie game that can't represent it well in a screenshot. Slap this art on there. It looks cool on Twitter.
This is old art. Yeah, so 400 facts, 400 F-A-C-T-S on Twitter. Made this art years ago. I'm glad it's getting its time in the sun again today. I love it. It's very good. You can also see it, obviously, if you go to waypointplus.com. 400 facts. That's right, to people in the chat. So do you have something else? Was that what you were going to ask, Patrick?
No, it wasn't. It was art, there's a plus sign.
Yeah,
and
this is a Google spreadsheet.
You have written out Waypoint Plus.
I see. You're saying, why am I not adhering to this little plus icon?
Get on the brand.
I like it in the what we would call the word mark or the kind of image here. Mm-hmm. I like that part of it. Mm-hmm. But I don't love it in just like regular text. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
Like,
because you can't actually like raise it.
See, this doesn't look right to me.
That looks bad.
That looks bad.
Yeah.
That font just doesn't have a good plus.
It doesn't, but
it also looks like some sort of healthcare.
Yeah, it does.
But it looks like we're signing up.
Like Waypoint Plus is about to deny your coverage.
I may have faked it. Make that a little bit smaller now.
Beautiful.
People who are just listening, I've gone into the spreadsheet here, or not the spreadsheet, the Google, what are these called? Slides? Google Slides?
Sure.
And made it bigger so that it sort of sits near where it's supposed to in the logo. Now we're branded. Yeah, bigger than before. Exactly. Way More Point. I think this was Rob, was Way More Point a Zachney original or was that a Jason original?
That was a Jason original, and okay. Jason was very proud of it and wanted everyone to know.
But he's really open to throwing it. He's like, if you guys don't like it, it's fine. You know, but it's like, no, that's actually that's a very funny little joke. That one stuck as the copy evolved.
Why not? Right.
Yeah, and also he was really hung up on the little downward arrow, the carrot.
I know,
Can you explain the carrot joke?
This is Jason. My version of this is better than yours, so you don't need to put the story out there because I think it is a little more complicated than this. But for ages, there kept being this inexplicable, way more on all our branding. There was this little thing that was like.
Jason's in the chat wanting to clarify.
With a carrot. Way More Point with a carrot. And I kept being like, what the fuck is this with a carrot? Why does it keep, and it was like dandelions in the lawn. Like it was just like, or mushrooms just kept popping up. And I was like, what the fuck is this? And eventually Jason was like, no, I want a carrot, like the punctuation. Can you throw a little carrot up there, Austin, on the slide so people can see exactly what we mean?
Where do you want it?
Just next to the plus.
Just next to the plus?
Yeah, because they were next.
Just like a like the carrot that's already
like arrow shift pointing
six.
Up. The
arrow
opposite
pointing,
of original
yes, shift
giant
six
bomb
is what you want. You want this, like one of these?
Yeah, something like that. Well, the one that points down. But
I don't have that one on my keyboard.
Well, neither did the RT.
I do. There we go.
And so they kept interpreting it as
it's a V.
They were like, "Oh yeah, so with a carrot, we got it." And they just kept adding the text with a carrot to the marketing material. And like Jason was like, "No, it's got to be with a carrot. Way more point. We're like more
so
is
doing...
being. It's like the editorial marker. Insert way in.
Were they doing way with a carrot point?" Or were they doing waypoint and then
waypoint
were they doing
plus
waypoint
with a carrot? That's what they were saying.
Waypoint or plus with a carrot like
yes.
this?
And what Jason wanted was way more point, and
right.
there would be
way
like more
was
being inserted in the middle of the word,
which I can't really do here. But yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
and it's the thing is, it stuck around for more than one iteration of the copy to the point where we got into a meeting. And I don't know if it was Rob or myself, was just like, hey, the fuck's up with this carrot thing? Like, I keep waiting for it to disappear, and it keeps sticking around.
Incredible. I kept being like, yeah, Jason, incredible. The carrot thing is going to disappear, right? The thing that can't go out. And eventually we figured out, like, what was in his, like, imaginatorium as he related
right,
this
sure.
to the art team. And yeah. it is pretty good. If you end up seeing a Waypoint Plus ad... somewhere on the web for those of
I
you
saw
who...
it today. I saw it today somewhere on Twitter. I can't find it again.
Wait, really?
I don't know. Yeah, this is remember earlier
oh,
before
that's
we the
what
stream,
you meant. I thought
I
meant...
messaged Rob and Patrick. I said, like, I saw this Waypoint Plus graphic today on Twitter. I can't find it
Hang
now
on
any
I
of
can
our pages. Because
no.
I was like, oh, that would be a useful thing to put on the screen. Kato put together this great little sidebar thing over on the right of your screen right now. But I was like, well, I don't know if I want to use that format for the layout today. Maybe I want to use a different format. So let me see what other graphics are available. And I thought I had it, but I didn't have it. And now it is what it is.
Someone pointing out, can we,
One second.
Okay. All right.
Jason's in the chat, first of all, trying to correct parts of this story, including that way more point was never Jason's, brainchild. It was just, he was trying to fix it. Jason, can I post this thing you sent me on Slack? Is this acceptable? Can I do that? Am I allowed to do that? I need clearance here. You just let me know. Jason says yes in the chat. All right, what we got here is an email. Gamingadvice.com is the address. I think we got a copy of the email, and it's from Jason saying, hey, thanks for this. We think it's great. Couple questions, notes, thought. Can we try to have two alt versions of Way More Point? When more is bolded or somehow stands out slightly, I think it's a matter of making the font barely perceptively bigger. And then we have been joking about this for a while, but the idea has grown us. Is there a version of the logo where we add more with an editor-style carrot between way and point? I drew an elaborate diagram to explain this. I would dot, dot, dot. I would say dot, dot, dot. Not pressing on this one, but I think it could be fun to see what something in this vein would look like. I gotta say, Jason, this is as clear as it could possibly be. That is just, and you show what you mean. How did they get to say with a carrot? You were getting owned. I have to tell you, I think y'all were all getting just absolutely punked. If I was on the design team, I would be laughing so hard every time I sent back with a carrot.
It kept coming back, so it wasn't, you know
so
what I mean? Like,
funny.
Another person looked at it and was like, time for the third art pass, and like,
with a carrot.
With a carrot. Thank you, Jason. What's should we get to some? Oh yeah,
Rob has it.
Yes.
This is it. Where? Oh, did I see it on the internet? I didn't see it on. I didn't see
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you
on,
might have saw
on,
it, seen it on the internet.
I saw it on. I was probably reading Gita's Sim story today and saw this ad that was just on Vice.
Look at that.
Yeah, there you
That's
go. Way
cool
more
ad.
Get. Way more point. I like it. I'm down. Anyway, we're here to answer your questions. Does that sound like a good idea?
Sure.
Yeah.
All right. First one comes in anonymous. Again, gaming@vice.com is the address. Use the subject question. Congratulations on the launch of Waypoint Plus. This person's done like the camel case single word.
Yeah, this is. Whew.
I don't love that. Whew. I don't hate it, but it's just not.
It's not.
It's just not. It's not me. I've no shade on this person who wrote in this very nice email.
They don't know what our style guide is for Waypoint. We don't
how
have
are
style
to fucking
guide.
Know?
Exactly. They didn't know there was a carrot.
Oh, sorry, that is Pascal case, not camel case. Thank you, Baron Bliss in the chat. I don't know my... Listen, apologies. send corrections to. I've been listening to podcasts and reading the articles for about 4 years now, and I can't wait to see what this means for the future of Waypoint. As for the actual questions, I know there are probably plans to incorporate this, but will y'all be making a separate question bucket for After Dark? What would that look like? The looser feel of that first After Dark episode makes the new podcast feel like a great opportunity to dive even deeper into the food/question bucket. Thanks for your hard work and being a vital voice in games journalism. Hope y'all have a great weekend. I think you're seeing it, baby. I think, hey, from our boss, can we put this email you sent to the design team in the podcast? Might be the way in. Yeah, I think so. I don't have like a definitive answer. We're kind of building the ship, you know, as it flies through the air. Building the plane in the air.
The history of Waypoint tells us is that this team needs more emails, and it needs more question buckets. Yeah. And, you know, we burn through those so fast. We always need more, and we need more channels for them.
I just had, like, the fact that we need a second one where people could be a little looser about their, like, weird habits. Like, look, this one's for the main feed. And
Yahoo
then, like,
the Yahoo anime bucket. Only people you can trust with the food, with your bad food opinions. Yes, agreed.
I think Waz has, like, the perfect energy for the After Dark.
Shout out to Wazinator. 100%. You know, I'm not trying to make a big name fan happen. That's not the way I like to live. But I do think over the last year, especially over the COVID years, this person who emails in, Jesse, a.k.a. the Wazinator, I want to say, has sent so many of our favorite goofy-ass questions to where, like, if we're having a random day where we're like, we don't have much to talk about, I can just search for Waz and probably come up with a good question.
The Waz, like, bucket.
Here's one right now. Howdy, Waypoint. This is from earlier in May. Do you have a traditional end of relationship or breakup food? I just realized I always get a bigger burger than normal so I can fall into a food coma. Regards, Waz.
Do they get bigger over time? Like, with the or is it based on the length of the relationship?
I think it's based on the seriousness of the relationship. Because sometimes you can be in a long relationship and it can end, and you're like, yeah, okay, it was time for that to wrap up. We basically finished this relationship a year ago and just kind of stuck it out. But there are other times when you're like, whoa, this one really hits. And it doesn't even have to have been all that long. I think you got to go hard on those. Those are the ones you got to eat the biggest burger.
I think it's been a minute. Historically, though, my traditional end of a relationship meal is a carton of cigarettes.
Mine's a haircut. So, yeah, it's not food. It's time to redefine my body in other ways. I'm sorry that yours is with nicotine and tar, Rob. It is what it is. Walking Snorlax in the chat says, that was a single patty relationship. Brutal.
Jesus. That's the half a bar of breakups.
Yes. Let's keep rolling. We've got a bunch of them here. Hey, Waypoint Plus crew, congrats. If you had to rate it, was the launch middling, successful, extremely successful, or life-changing? How soon can we expect Vice to rebrand as Vice, a Waypoint company? I'm so glad this got to happen. Love y'all's stuff.
The analogy, the scale I used before, about at the start of the week, Vince McMahon leaning back in his chair, eyebrow raised.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think at this point, Vince McMahon is kind of looking around.
Yeah, doing the eyes wide open, mouth agape.
Yeah,
yeah, not all the way to like.
Well, there's four stages.
Like heavy breathing,
four stages of the meme,
not falling,
right?
Not falling.
But like, am I the only one seeing this?
We got an email thread today, right?
Oh, yes. Truly, you have achieved corporate success when you get the and not just a email. Mm-mm. Seven response to the point where. Like DM and Rob, this is our email. I think one of us should respond. And Rob's like, I'm on it. I got it. Like I'm working on the response. Like we need to acknowledge our own success in this.
Yeah.
In this
course, which we're not comfortable with.
Incredible. Yeah, I'm so happy that y'all, you know, with the support that y'all have shown us already. You know, I said during that initial call or that initial Waypoint After Dark that we had a number that we were trying to hit. We are not at that number. It's in range.
It's really close.
We hit it before.
You hit it on the stream.
Who knows how this stream goes? Like, Jason could come in chat right now and be like, you hit it. And then all the red alarms go off, and then our life changes. That doesn't actually. Our lives. This is the actual answer here is that, like, life changing is both something that yes, of course it's already changed our lives because it means that our day-to-day looks different. But also, life-changing has a limit when what you do is talking to a microphone about video games and politics and culture, unless you're super successful at the ninja level, which I don't think any of us could live like that, frankly.
No, that sounds miserable. You read what that life is, and that doesn't seem
great. Scale of attention. I could see it'd be a lot of fun. Rob, like, could imagine being the not piece of shit Joe Rogan. Like, imagine
they
like,
all,
just having
Rob,
cool
they all go
over.
Bad.
They all go bad. They all go bad. I don't think you can get through it. I don't know
you
who that
just
is.
The scale of it predetermines that, like, you're going to end up being the villain.
I was just talking about this. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it's like child acting, right? Like, it corrupts almost all, and then what's remarkable is when you get someone, like, who isn't a terrible piece of shit. And it feels like it corrupts in the same direction.
I was saying to someone the other day that, like, when we talk about the freedom this is going to give us, it does not mean freedom from, pressures or limits or something like that. It just shifts what those are to something we're more comfortable with. Like, in the old model, we had to be aware of traffic, of how many eyes we're getting on ads, right? And that, whether or not, even if you're very conscious of that pressure and you want to work around it, you inevitably start to make certain decisions in order to make sure you achieve those goals so that people keep their jobs and stuff like that. At least I can speak to that when I was EIC, at least.
I would spend days where I was told, just chill, like spend some time writing a feature, and I wouldn't, or I would in the background, but also like, yeah, I also need to post like two things today and like two things tomorrow, right? Because right, I know that's the metric we're being measured against, and could never just like take the deep breath that
right
I wanted to, even if people were telling me you can take that breath. I didn't,
but
believe
you know, and you've good reason not to believe them. No offense again to the people saying it, but you've seen in the past when those cuts come, they hit you, and they hit you as a surprise, right? Like I've said this before, but Mike Diver was essential to getting Waypoint off the ground, and then he got cut in a round of UK cuts that we had
completely
no idea
unrelated.
Were coming. Completely unrelated. So he's like, you don't even know. You don't
we
even
woke
know
up,
when it's going to come.
And like, you sent me a DM. I was like Mike's
dude,
not here anymore.
I
was like,
right.
What
I got
you,
put into a room and
about?
Someone told me. Yeah. And so like, stuff like that can happen. And so you're always like shaky on that. And so this gives us a little bit more security in that regard, because the business model is built around the team being the team and the team making stuff. But also, that doesn't mean there aren't other pressures. And I think those pressures probably at the large enough scale get to be part of the thing that hits you. And like, shapes the way your content goes. And I wouldn't want to have an audience so loud and so big that I couldn't say no to them. Do you know what I mean? That like, I couldn't say, no, I'm not bringing that person on. We're not sharing our platform with X or whatever. Right. Like that's, that was important. So, but yeah, very successful, very happy with it so far. More to come, hopefully. Taking things one step at a time. I think Rob, you've been very good at holding the reins and being like, let's not overreach too quickly.
Yeah,
I'm gonna do something very funny right now, which is I'm like, we're gonna stay really humble. I'm gonna turn this ring light on because I don't like my degree of lighting that I
we
have.
We had
right
conversations
now.
That was like, all right,
right.
There's money. What do? Okay, you know, how do we get a budget? I mean, that's quite literally like the stage that was like, prove it successful. Get people behind it, and then figure out what it means. Like we are only going to start having the. We thought these conversations were going to be later. They're now happening faster, but they're going to be after kind of the E3 stream that we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
But it is like, hey, after that's done, we'll have established like what this is in terms of the level of support. Then the question becomes, well, what do we do with this?
Right.
In you know, both for ourselves and like as a thing that exists within Vice. So I think that's something we're going to spend. I don't know, like. The plan, when we talked about this ahead of it launching, was like, we're going to spend the summer figuring it out. And the money part kind of has been figured out. Now we need to figure out, like, how, you know, what does that mean for our day-to-day and our setups? And
how best to use it. Right. Not just like, yeah, we'll see. It's not like, just to be clear, it's not like that money goes into a direct bucket that then we just scoop
it's
up.
It's not
and
a
like,
credit card that's like, it's going to go. Patrick has been putting off buying a gaming PC to see if he can get Vice to buy him one.
It would be sick if Vice bought us one now. You know, I feel like we have that leverage now to have those conversations. We're having conversations about time, about you know, role, salary, like all that stuff is stuff that we can now try to broach in a more leveraging way.
I think I DM'd Rob, and we can leave it here, is that now is the time for me to find even more niche stories targeted to less people, but I still find interesting. Thank
find
you, subs. for allowing me to find the speedrunner of a DS game from 2006 that four people play. Here's how they got clipped through this wall.
Yeah, yeah.
That's definitely one way we could use those resources. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Just to answer something in the chat, Munocard says, I'm assuming Austin still has no interest in coming back as a full-time employee. I'll be doing more, like, streams and podcasts and stuff. So, like, you'll see an uptick in my... whatever my title or role or whatever is, what I'm not doing is, like, taking over a management role ever again in my life, probably. But what I am going to do is be around more often, and you don't have to worry about, like, what that looks like on the back end. We'll figure all that out. Speaking of back ends and figuring stuff out, Pietrick writes in and says, hi, lovely people. I want to subscribe, but I don't have a credit card. Maybe here in the Netherlands, it isn't as needed as in the U.S. I do have PayPal for Humble Bundles and stuff. Is it possible to subscribe using PayPal? So I think that you can, but you have to get in sideways. If you go to the site, waypointplus.com, with Google Wallet set up, I think using Chrome or using... or Apple Pay, I think, and you have PayPal connected to either Google Pay or Apple Pay, or Google Wallet or Apple Pay, then you can use PayPal around the way. And so that, and I think Google Pay may, or Google Wallet may even have a direct to your bank account setup that you could set up. So I know that some people did this. People in the chat are saying, I can confirm I did this using Google Pay. So I know some people have done that. I think that that's an important thing just to shout out, because I know some people have questions about that. So I wanted to say that here. We'll have to repeat this on a regular podcast also so that everyone there knows about it. But that's a quick and easy one. So I hope you figured it out, Pietrick. Thank you again for your support.
I also know what I'm going to change my name to if I move to the Netherlands.
Pietrick. That's good. That's fun. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Apologies if I am not. Another Waypoint Plus, you know, nuts and bolts question. Waypoint Plus nuts and bolts. The fan loved the critical darling that didn't really blow up on the Xbox 360. Will there be an annual subscription option soon? I prefer to have. I have to look past the ring light now. My subscriptions be annual, even if there's no discount. This would also make gifting subs more appealing, as right now you can only gift 1 month at a time. I guess one, by the way, you can gift subs now, waypointplus.com. I don't know what the timeline is on this.
So
Rob,
this is kind of a stay tuned question, because one of the things is, as people probably can tell, this came in hot, and it was sort of very assembled, as we said, sort of assembled in the air. One of the things we're feeling out is both what level of support are we going to arrive at, and then what does a sustainable, healthy Waypoint Plus ecosystem look like for us? And I think once the answers there are a little bit clearer, I think the plan is we're going to discuss, like, we're going to codify this a little bit more. We've already codified.
Did that come through?
What was that?
What?
I'm in the middle of a wild storm now, so if we go down, one of you has to pick up the stream, and I'll call in on my phone. But it's like thunder and lightning in the middle of Queens right now.
It sounded like there was some tap dancing happening on the floor above you.
No, that was thunder.
Oh, cool.
And lightning. So... My daughter
just had a show for her dance class, like a tap dancing ballet thing, and in the middle of the show, a girl, they're all still wearing masks, puked into her mask.
Patrick, why do you always derail these conversations with gross shit? The second time.
Sorry. All right, continue, Rob.
This is being a dad. Rob, continue.
I think... we probably are going to be rolling out an annual subscription thing. That's probably also going to be attended with a slightly maybe built – a more built-out description of what Waypoint Plus is. Because a lot of this was almost like we have to be a little bit vague and like Beth-hedging, because we don't know what this is going to be like. So my guess is stay tuned. In the next few months probably we're going to come back with a slightly like more cleaned up button-down version of like what the pitch is. And that probably comes with – here's what a annual sub, like, here's what we can promise will happen in that next year.
We didn't launch it because, like, who knew how it was going to go? We're you know, pretty confident that we would be successful enough for it to be considered a success, more or less. But we weren't sure at that point that we knew for a fact that we'd be doing it in a year. And so, like, the idea of selling subscriptions for a year when we weren't sure what that would even look like or if we'd be allowed to do it felt... like maybe not the first. It was a put the horse before the carriage thing. we got the horse now. We got the carriage. We put them there. Now we can talk about how to make that thing go a little further. So, here we go. This one's from JJ, who says, I'm very excited about Waypoint Plus. I subscribed the second you announced it on the pod. I know you're hoping / planning to bring back old favorites, but I'm wondering.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
It's like that. So I know.
Much, also, like throwing a boulder hit, down the stairs. Like.
Yeah, But I wonder if there's anything you never got a chance to do and plan on doing for the sub. And if I can make a request, please do a Waypoint Plus episode about your love of Souls, Bloodborne, and Sekiro. I never get tired of hearing y'all talk about it, even if I often re-listen to old pod episodes just to get a fix. Looking forward to what's coming. JJ. This one's for JJ. That wasn't a good Spider-Man. I was so scared about the thunder and lightning, I couldn't really, lean into it. Spider-Man gets shook when it's, like... When it's, like, storming out?
Oh, can you, like, feel the lightning and thunder coming constantly? It's like turn this off. I don't...
Well, and are his web shooters, like, traditional Spider-Man with the metal web shooters? Or maybe they're, like, some sort of...
Well, okay, how conductive is his synthetic webbing? That's the real question.
We have to look at some electro issues to find out about that.
Yeah. I think my guess is probably isn't super conductive compared to, like, the buildings he's zipping around on.
Yeah. Good point. People are noting he's not grounded when he's up in the air. I guess that's true.
Yeah. So that's a great point, too.
That's a good point. I bet it's still scary, though.
I wouldn't cling to the side of, like, a radio antenna if I were him. Like, that seems like... Well, no, because it would still...
Stick to gargoyles.
Would he just be like a bird on a wire? Where it's like...
I think so. It would go through, and it would hit the bottom, right?
Man. Electricity. So mysterious. Doesn't behave according to rules that mortals can understand. Unpredictable. Barely tamed.
Stay tuned for our science podcast.
Yeah, this is one of the things we're going to do that's not... I don't know. Like, what are the things? I think one of the big ones that we've talked about is working with some more guests. Mm-hmm. You just recorded that LA Noir Waypoint 101 with Cam Kunzelman. So that's exciting. And we just had Dia on for the Nier spoiler cast, the Nier Replicant one a few weeks ago. So I think that's one of the things I would toss in the hat there is like this gives us the resources to you know, bring guests on and make sure that that's like done the right way. Anyone else have anything that's like, also streaming in general is just, I know it's an old thing, but it's also a new thing in the sense that I want to stumble into another show as exciting or format as exciting as Breakfast and Battleground was, or as exciting as seeing Patrick go through Mario Maker Mornings back in the day, or, you know, Spookin' with Scoops.
Yeah, something beyond just the new game is out. Like, let's watch us play it. You know, not saying that we wouldn't if there was something that really struck us. You know, hey, when that like Marvel XCOM game comes out in the fall, like I want to see Rob and Austin play that. But, yeah, I think, you know, things like your, you know, Permadeath and Breath of the Wild, like, those are along the lines of, you know, you don't want to make it so that every stream has to be an event, but, like, you know, moving in the direction of, you know, like, if I was going to play Dark Souls with, like, Austin again, like, one, it would be fun to do the, like, two-handed, you know, or the two hands, one controller Sekiro again. Yeah, that was fun. I've never played with the Dark Souls randomizer. Like, I think that would be fun. You know, that's something in that vein. So... Also, like, like, if people have ideas, you know, like, that's the kind of thing where, you know, like, throw them at us, especially if you're thinking of things in that vein as we try to start to brainstorm, which is also, like, what this summer was supposed to be, which is, like, this thing being more successful than we expected almost feels like, ah, shit, like, come on, you know, I thought we had, like, 60 days to, like, mess around. And we still do that, and if anything, it makes us more comfortable to do that messing around, given that now we have a foundation to do it, but, like, that's... Part of what this summer is, and before, like, an annual sub is, like, what are we excited to do? Like, can we find a way to do, like, a remote, like, Hot Mic Mornings? You know,
I would
like,
love to do Hot Mic Mornings again.
Right, like, you and I got real hot talking about, like a version of that. Which is like, still, like, how do you do it? You know, what's the setup? What is the frequency? I don't know. So, like, that's the part that we're still figuring
Dragon's
out.
Dragon's Dogma to Tuesdays. Patrick, I meant to tell you. I'm back in the end game. I'm in the post-game
Dragon's Dogma.
Yeah,
I saw you posted this tweet.
Dude, that game is so good.
I saw the follow-up, which was complaining about, like, Twitter compression.
That was really bad. Because
you posted a dark video, but,
you know. That I don't know how much of that post-game you remember, or, like, how much the world changes after you fight the dragon, and then you, like, get back in the world, and there's that, like, post-game dungeon that unlocks.
Yeah, I didn't do any of that.
But you had to have, because I know you, or did you only watch the true ending
of that game? I must have done it then. I mean,
you must have done it.
Yeah. No,
it's been so long. But
yeah.
the world state changes, new enemies get added everywhere, and then you get this post-game dungeon that's, like, wild, all new enemies in there, and then you get the stuff that's, like, the true mindfuck ending. We should talk about it at some point somewhere. Yeah.
We should do a Dragon's Dogma spoiler cast where we just talk about our vague memories of Dragon's Dogma.
Well, I just replayed most of it, so it's fresh. It's fresh. I didn't actually replay most of it. I played half of it last year, and I just picked that save up. And normally when I'm like, I'm in the mood to play some Dragon's Dogma, I just start the game over. And this time I was like, I know how the first half of this game goes so well. I've done that 4 or 5 times now. Let me just play it through, and it's so good. Anyway.
Shoutouts to Polygon, who just raided the stream with a
couple
hundred people.
Thank you to Polygon. Shoutouts. So many cool people over there. We got another one here, Daniel from Orlando. Congrats on getting to do more cool stuff. Easiest subscription decision I've ever made in a long time. You may have answered this already, but will we get archived somewhere besides Twitch? And the real question. Monster Rancher pioneered generating monsters from CDs, and I admit, yes, I may have purchased some albums specifically because of the unique creatures they unlock.
You and
these
me
days,
both.
Yeah, these days CDs and even disc drives are few and far between, so what would you want to see a new Monster Rancher or spiritual successor use to generate monsters for you? Feasibility or limitations of reality need not be considered. Praise Collective Action, Daniel from Orlando. Yes, we're getting archives on YouTube, presumably. Rob, is that true?
Yeah, I think actually one might be going up right now.
Oh, sick.
The short answer is, yeah, absolutely. Like, we're going to have a smoother pipeline on YouTube. And again, this is an example of, like, there are just frictions to what we were dealing with before that will make zero sense to you, but were absolutely real. One of them was anything we did on Twitch required, like, conversations with other people to move the archive onto YouTube, or it required, like, Kato time, which was a precious commodity.
I
he was
remember
split
the forms I
things.
Used to have to fill out to upload a video.
Dude.
My brain is actually, like, experiencing trauma thinking about
you blacked this out. You'd forgot you had not let yourself.
There was a period
to
upload
this.
A video
yeah,
that I had to get, like, approval. Like, just hey, I streamed Spelunky. And then there's, you know, a 90 minutes of work just to, like, beyond uploading the video.
Yeah. We had to get it. Remember, like, we've now talked about the launch of this website and that, like, the point at which lawyers wanted us to get specific. Have we told? We've told that story.
Yeah, I feel
probably.
Like we told Bert, like you're getting Sony to
to approve us playing Sony games.
Look, you guys need to go to Nintendo and get an open-ended license to use any Nintendo characters for anything in perpetuity on Vice content.
Right, that's the thing is, it wasn't just, can you send them this letter that says, sign off on use for this one stream, really. It was like the real ass full in perpetuity in any, like, basically give us Mario. And it's like, well, that's not gonna work.
We'll license Mario back to you. Like, we're not saying only we can use Mario, but we are saying we can use Mario.
And I think there were two instances. One, I went to, and each of these, like, I was tasked with doing a lot of this stuff while Austin was doing a lot of, like, the planning in New York. And so I was handling, like, hey, I know all these PR people, like, I'll try and run legal through this. And I would talk to PR people ahead of sending. I would call them and be like, hey, I'm going to send you a weird email, and I need to explain why I'm sending that, and then let's try and go from there. And then I would send the email. I believe it was, like, Namco replied saying, you should just listen and trust Patrick. He's been doing this a long time. This is, like, with legal CC'd on the emails. Just like, why are we having this conversation? Just listen to him. And I think Sony or Square, I think it was Sony, more or less said, if you want to do this, you really want me to go to our Japanese lawyer. If you want me to do this, they are going to say no. Do you want me to do this?
And it's like Billy Bob Thornton in Fargo, like, talking to Colin Hanks, right? Where it's like, do you really want to go down this road? Do you really want to do this? Yeah.
And we didn't. We eventually got enough companies to say yes.
To say that things turned around.
I will
for
say,
us.
Like, the company used to be way more, I guess, like, fractured is the way I put it. Like, also, it's way smoother now to
hashtag
talk to people on YouTube
vice.
And the YouTube team and be like, hey, can this just go through? But, like, just this makes it easier to say, like, hey, Waypoint content is worth spending your time on. Whereas, like, in 2017, the vibe was frequently, Waypoint again with this shit. And, like, that was kind of felt
Like, real talk, go look at what our numbers are on YouTube. They're not incredible numbers. They're not. And so you have to imagine if you have a YouTube team and they're going to put up a video that's a 12-minute long documentary about sneakers on youtube.com/device that's going to get 1.5 million views or something, or they're going to put up a Tactical Tuesdays video that maybe hits 10K. Why would they do that? And the answer now is some percentage of that 10K is spending money every month, and that makes it more valuable than a 30-second ad ahead of time. I got two important ones here from Vehemently in the chat, who is one of our great mods. One, hey, with Waypoint Plus, will y'all finally be able to afford to make your own VTubers? You know, I'll have to put it in the... in the maybe pile. We'll have to see that. What that number looks like. It's, we have friends who do VTubers. We could talk to people about it. Patrick, I want you to have a VTuber so bad. I feel like you have the energy for it.
I look back at my my experience trying out as a voice over actor, yeah. You know, yeah. At various streams. I feel I'm ready for it. I'm ready to take it to the next level. If I'm going to play Spelunky 2 on a stream, it can't be me anymore. I need to shake it up.
I really want to stream with you as a VTuber crossing over with Danica's VTuber so bad. So bad. I have another one from Vehemently here. Speaking of previous folks who worked here, Vehemently asked whether or not we would potentially see some Natalie Watson on Waypoint Plus stuff. The thing that I would say is, like, I super want that to happen. I think all of us do. Obviously, we work with Natalie. Rob and I work with Natalie on a more civilized age at this point. But Natalie also has a full-time job where if you don't know that she's been working with Sam Barlow on the new Half Mermaid game. And so it's about her availability, honestly. You know, we would love to bring her on for guest podcasts and streams and all that stuff. If she's available, it is an open invitation for Natalie all the time. Likewise, you know, when you're here, you're family. That's what we always say. Everybody gets pizza. Is that what I said? Is that what the Waypoint Plus motto is I came up with the other day? So yeah, we'll see.
As you're wearing an
Hashtag no promises. Shirt. I am wearing an ice cream party shirt. You're right.
I had some ice cream for lunch after yes. my lunch. So.
Ooh, look at you. Speaking of when you're here, your family, LP writes in, I've noticed a lot of people conversation around Waypoint Plus content has focused on Kato, Patrick, and Rob. Obviously, folks like Emmanuel, Jason, and Gita are motherboard. Sorry, I'm still looking around this ring light, folks. But can we expect to see them in any regularity? Or does Waypoint mean Waypoint here? Day one community member excited for this new moment for the site. Cheers, LP.
So I think the answer is, yeah, you're going to see people more regularly, and that's going to work across a couple axes. For one thing, we used to cast a wider net over on yeah. Waypoint into other issues of culture and news and just conversations that people who work here were interested in having. And that was... probably, like, that format would have been easier to have people from, like, Motherboard come and join in those conversations. Like, Waypoints is a ready-made, like, Motherboard format. So I think the answer is absolutely, like, we're going to have more opportunities to work with more of our friends at Motherboard and get them on both on topics they're passionate about and also bring them into our weirdness. So, you know, you already got a little taste of that, I think, with Gita and Emily. We're doing a Sims podcast earlier this week. If you haven't, like, even if you're not into The Sims, like, it's a good mm-hmm. listen. You should
it's
check it out.
It's a great conversation. Yeah.
And, like, hopefully we're going to be...
And I hope we get some, yeah, I was going to say, I hope we get some streams also.
Yeah, and Jason and Emmanuel are beating down our door to be allowed to play Warzone together. Patrick has set some really stringent preconditions. Around
oh,
that,
oh, I came up. Oh yeah, we're gonna do that. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to tease
oh,
it?
Right. Yes. No. That's all. Yeah. No. Let's not tease it. It's
Are
too
you
funny.
Ready to play
I want
a game.
Okay. Well, now it's been teased.
But yeah. So I mean, the way I would just say is, like, Motherboard remains a really serious and quality news site that has both different objectives and different incentives, and they're gonna continue doing their thing. But also they're full of really cool, smart people that we really like to work with. And we're going to find more opportunities to collaborate there as well.
Totally. Two quick more ones from the chat. Halawala asks, basically, is Kato going to get to spend more time dedicated to Waypoint now with the extra funds, or are you going to hire another producer? What is the kind of distribution of work on the production side? Yeah, Kato is full-time on Waypoint now. Kato is actually, Kato's on vacation right now, this second, thank God.
Waypoint Plus took off
a Kato. Hell of a start, Kato.
I'm out of here.
Kato said, I'm taking off too. Peace.
I need to go play Sonic Colors.
Waypoint Plus, and we launched Kato into the Appalachian somewhere. He is currently playing on a Wii?
Yes.
He's playing the latest hits on the Nintendo Wii.
Sonic Colors, Wii Bowling, having a great time. Shout out to Kato. Love you, Kato. We also got one from Yabo here. He says, why did you choose to do the Disney Plus, Apple Plus naming convention? Discovery Plus, etc. I think it just flows well. I like Waypoint Plus, as Danny O'Dwyer over on the Bombcast pointed out this week. There's an alliteration to it. That's good. It's preferable to other potential things we could have had, like Waypoint.
There's a document somewhere.
Complete. Yeah, there is probably a document somewhere. We threw out a bunch of names. This was the one. This was the big. Part of it is that is Slate Plus drilled in our heads from years of being disaffected Slate listeners.
With a Waypoint Plus podcast, we're going to start listening to the Slate political gabfest again, and then just having a reaction cast.
Yeah, that's content. A lot of suggestions in the chat here. Waypoint Prime, Super Waypoint, Quest Marker from Vehemently, Way More Carrot Point. Yeah, okay, now we're talking.
Waypoint Unlimited Pasta Pass.
Shit, we got to burn it down already.
Start over, run it back.
New Waypoint Pro is good.
It's funny that someone says Waypoint Gaiden, because I was just in a conversation with someone about whether or not people know what Gaiden means or not, and whether or not enough people know that to be able to use it. And also, like, you can't just use Gaiden. Gaiden, it's a little like on that like we're just using a Japanese word because it's cool.
Yeah, it's a little like, you know, in the Kotaku Gama Sutra, where it's like,
yes.
Do we want to name these things this anymore?
Yeah. Are we past it?
Well, for the SEO, we're stuck with Kotaku, although Gama Sutra's rebranded.
Gama's going to change sometime soon, I hope.
Wait, I found some.
All right, good. Call some out. What do we got?
Okay.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Jason. Oh, my God.
Wait, did Jason link it to you?
Yeah, he linked me screenshots here on Slack.
Okay.
Okay, topic so far.
Here's the origin. Here's the fucking origin. Top pick so far. Can only imagine who wrote this. Way, parenthesis, more, close parenthesis, point. Just in case you were confused, dash, in parenthesis or above, with a caret.
Yeah.
That is the suggestion that launched a thousand bad treatments of the branding.
You want to go through these one by one? Do you want to just talk? So you got Way More Point. Next up, Waypoint Expansion Pack. Mm-hmm. Don't love it. Patrick, you want to hit the next one? Let's go around in a circle here.
Waypoint 1-Up.
Huh. They can't use
that
one.
Can't use that.
I don't know. Does Ziff even know they own that?
Oh, rough. What else do we got here? We got
Waypoint Campaign Mode.
I mean, it's like a subscription campaign.
Yeah.
I like the subhead Other Thinking a lot. Waypoint Endless Mode. I kind of get where that's coming from. Waypoint Endless, you know.
Isn't that's the name of the Giant Bombs thing, right? The like the station that runs?
I thought it was Giant Bomb Infinite. That's Infinite. Yeah, yeah.
We have Waypoint Horde Mode, but crucially, it's Horde like a dragon's horde.
Right, I see. Not like a horde of enemies.
Oh, no, we're in the Rob suggestion area.
Oh,
we
yeah, this is yours?
We don't
this
need
next
to
one?
Read these.
Waypoint Capital Management?
Uh-huh.
Was yours? Yeah?
Paypoint.
Paypoint? Waypoint Lossless? Lossless is kind of funny.
That is good. I like Lossless. Paypoint.
Lossless is good for just like, if I was doing a music blog, Lossless would be a good one. Waypoint Sustainable Content Farm? Uh-huh. Good. Waypoint Level Up. Mm-mm. Waypoint Sandbox. Sandbox would be a good, like show.
Wait, are you not going to read this one, you coward?
Which one?
Sub for Waypoint.
Ah, Sub for Waypoint. I missed Sub for Waypoint. Huh. I mean, you know, that's Waypoint Boss
and
level.
And then we're out of
Waypoint
me.
God
like,
mode.
These are
back
other people.
I'm glad that you're taking credit for Sub for Waypoint.
Yeah, just,
I'm
just
happy.
Throwing that's... other people under the bus. I didn't contribute any to any of these names.
I don't think any of these are mine. Waypoint plus one modifier, something from like D&D world, it says here. I think plus one is kind of, I kind of get it. A waypoint end user? Listen, Genshin Impact just released a character named Eula. Why can't we?
I think
waypoint XP.
Yeah, the 2.0 cracked us up at a certain point, because when we actually tried to figure out, well, what like version of this, if the version is what you are measured against by your like superiors and executives,
7.0 or something.
Yeah, I don't,
really?
Who knows?
Waypoint Vista, waypoint Elite 1337, waypoint Beta. I like that one. That one's very funny because it suggests that we've always been in Alpha up until now for the last 5 years.
Or we've regressed. Like,
or we've regressed.
Actually,
right.
We're like rewriting the code, and yeah, so we're going into Beta.
2.0, which you said, playthrough. There's a mushroom emoji.
The emoji
here,
ones.
Mushroom
what
emoji.
Were people thinking that, like, what?
I don't know. Sometimes you just say things. Waypoint Sub Zero emoji. You know?
Naming things is an embarrassing, soul searching. Like having been involved in a number of them, like
a
it's not. And you have to put yourself out there. Like this doesn't sound good.
Yes.
But maybe if we say it enough times, the mouth feel will pass legal muster.
Yes. Waypoint Infinite, Party Point, Waypoint Side Quest. I don't mind Side Quest.
Bonus points,
Waypoint
not bad either.
Split Screen, that's already a thing also. Second Wave. Second Wave is kind of fun. Pro Point, but Prop Oint also, and that's... Loot Box, Bonus Point, Double Jump. We almost... Jump was one of the things we almost named the site.
That's
wasn't
true.
It?
That one, we got actually like logo treatments for Jump.
We got
right?
logo. I want to say we got logo treatments for the Jump because someone at Vice had once owned a magazine called The Jump.
So it was legally clear.
So it was legally clear for us. Yeah. Open World and Replay.
Open World was the that was the name of a podcast for a brief period of time at some point that I tried to get off the ground after talking to Robert Ashley. I was like, someone should just like bring back. You're not going to bring back your podcast. Like it's not happening.
Right.
Are we sure?
I was thinking of trying to do something like that. Got as far as like doing interviews for like a test first episode, interviewed an editor, but then I just never got beyond that. I just ran out of time.
Yeah. Kyle writes in to say, any chance of a new Lore Reasons series? As mentioned, we would love to do that with Natalie specifically. It's hard to imagine Lore Reasons without Natalie, though there are other types of deep dives that I think we would be willing to do. And so stay tuned. We'll figure something out. You know, I feel like... It's in the playbox. It's in the sandbox. You know, it's in the waypoint.
Yeah, I think like specifically like Lore Reasons means like a certain group of people doing a certain thing. And so if we were ever to say Lore Reasons, we would want it to mean what that thing is. But the idea of like doing mythology lore deep dives, like I was, you know, I was telling Austin and Rob, I have an idea of something that I would like to do as like a long term project that is like Lore Reasons adjacent. So
I'm excited to know what the hell that is. Yeah. And this one in from one Dia. It's a bunch of horse and fire emojis and also some flag. There's a lot happening in this email, but I think what it really is saying is, when are we getting Waypoint plus swag? I want sick vinyl stickers and dope hoodie. Sure. I hope we get merch. Merch is on the list.
Our color would be a really fucking cool hoodie and a shirt.
Yeah.
That would stand out.
I agree.
How often do you see that color on clothing?
Very rarely. I think
there's any reasons for that.
Because it's too powerful?
Might be too powerful.
Sounds fake.
You know what? I'm ready. I'm ready for that.
I mean, look. If we make, like, if there's, like, a velour jumpsuit, like, waypoint color thing, like, I'm there. Like, absolutely, hook me up.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Next question. This one's
serious.
Can we
get some salad dressing holders? Maybe Rob will get on board with merch if we can.
Look, like, you have one bad morning.
Tumblers. I think we could get some good. What about just glassware in general? What about some glassware in general? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. While I love what you all have planned for Waypoint Plus, some part of me is worried that making more podcasts and doing more streams will take a lot of time and put pressure on you all to do more work for the same pay. But Austin and Patrick have talked in the past about how demanding the job is already without the extra pressure of sustaining a DTC model that's direct to consumer. Given that you all have been great labor advocates in the past, I wanted to give you a chance to talk about the balance and hopefully tell us that everyone involved is remembering to say fuck capitalism along the way as needed. Hugs, Adam. I think this is super important and has been, you know, one of the big things I've said again and again during this whole process for me to advocate for myself is like, if I'm doing this, a thing I need to get access to is vacation time, because right now that's not really a thing that's worked into the way my contract is set up. That is being dealt with. Like, that is 100% being dealt with. And the reason it wasn't dealt with before is not because someone was trying to fuck me over. It's because of America's bad healthcare laws and the ways in which healthcare is offered to contract workers in the role that I'm in. It's being dealt with. So that's like an example of how serious that is for us. I think one of the biggest things, and again, Rob and Patrick, you can speak to it, is making sure that in this transition, we don't try to all do two jobs at once. I'm pretty determined not to end up blogging again, for instance. And so that means I won't be taking on that extra job. But for you two, it's like, how do you make this transition to where you're not trying to play two sports at once, so to speak? You know?
Patrick?
Oh, I can go. Rob, your mouth started
to... Well, no, I was thinking... Because Patrick's the one who's actually good at this. Like, I am very much a do as I say, not as I... Like, I try. I do. But, like, also, I think track record in terms of, like, work-life balance, I think Patrick is probably been the most successful here.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I've had pretty strict rules for myself, and I was lucky enough when Waypoint came along that I had, not that Austin wouldn't have like respected those boundaries, but I was far enough along in my career to be like, hey, I'm about to have a kid, I'm gonna work 9 to 5-ish, like, yep. I'm gonna break that stuff occasionally, you know, I'm gonna play game, you know, I'm not gonna include the bucket of I play games, which is technically overtime but will go unpaid for, you know, all of my career. That's part of it. I think with this is, I like, for example, for me, like, I don't know what that balance is quite yet, because I need to figure out, like, what do I want to do? How much are we doing it? Who wants to be part of what? Like, those are, again, that's part of, like, the summer of Waypoint Plus is figuring out what those things are. Like, if I come up with a cool video series, it's like, okay, well, is that part of, like, the two streams we're already doing, but then is Patrick doing a third one? What does that mean in terms of the reporting that, like, I'm a reporter at heart. Like, I like writing. One of the reasons I like left Giant Bomb was because I got away from writing and reporting and like just really missed it. And so when I was by myself doing like solo video content before Giant Bomb moved into a model where they figured out how to do more things remote, I was like kind of just me and Alex Navarro, yeah, like figuring that out on our own with Vinny helping us. I just kind of got to a point where I was like, I think I'm just going to go work with a bunch of writers and reporters and get back to my craft. So, like, I don't want to lose that, but there's also worlds where, like, how do I do stuff like that in, like, a different format? Like, how, you know, how can I do things where I'm interviewing people doing interesting things, and maybe that is a stream somehow? Like, I don't know, but, like, I'm excited. Like, I've always been of the mind that there are ways to take, like, my original skill set of, like, finding interesting stories and finding a way to present them while recognizing people are reading them, or like, kind of, you know, whether it's listening, you know, watching, like, I'm just using reading as like a shorthand, like discovering those in different formats. And so, like, that's the exciting challenge for me is like, oh, this opens the door for me to see what, like, what my reporting skills and interests are in a different format. Like, that's the exciting part for me. And so, I guess I'll be doing.
I'm now remembering all sorts of ideas we've had over the years about that, Patrick, that we just couldn't do because we couldn't. Sometimes you have to slow down in some ways to spend the time to develop a new idea, and we just could never do that. And so hopefully, yeah, some of that stuff gets built out.
And again, also, and as a base level thing, like the metrics of which are like base level salaries are judged is different. Yeah. And so I can like step away from the sort of like, I don't do that much blogging anyway. I write mostly features, and so that, but games writing that occurs on Motherboard and Waypoint isn't going to disappear. That's going to be like something where like Emmanuel Myberg is overseeing a lot of that. But me and Rob are still in, like involved overseeing. We're not necessarily like, you know, crossing every T, dotting every I, but we're trusting folks that we trust to do that work. And while we're kind of off doing this, but I guess the short answer is, I don't know. A lot of it's up in the air, but we expect the audience will also help keep us honest because that's part of the reason we talk about it with you.
So the thing I would add to this is I have gotten this wrong so many times that I think only now am I getting good at getting it right. And this is a separate issue, but I think like something that really helped was that when Austin, you and I were discussing like, hey, do we want to do like this More Civilized Age with, you know, Natalie and Allie, all of us came in and had real like brass tacks conversations about like we'd all gotten this wrong in the past and we were all like never again. And we stuck to that.
Never again.
Like we like drew some firm lines. And I think that was good practice for what we're bringing here where it's like it is so easy to get on this treadmill of one, all the ideas we have, we want to do. Like there's so many like the thing about an ice cream party is that you want to eat all that ice cream. But you shouldn't. And, like, all these ideas sound really enticing. And it's really easy to, like, have an idea of, like, oh, we'll come into this and come into that. And, you know, oh, we'll add tiers. There's a very, like, why doesn't Waypoint Plus have tiers right now? And maybe never will have tiers. Because all of us have had that moment of, like, there's too many value adds
you
we're offering.
Yourself.
And it's, like, all these things that sounded manageable when you're considering them individually add up to just wall-to-wall workload, and the fun leeches out of it. And suddenly you are phoning it in. And maybe you're good enough that, like, people can't tell, but you know. And you know how spent you are on the other side of it. So I think one of the ways that we've approached this is just, you know, it would have been nice to have figured all this stuff out 10 years ago. But I think we're all at a place where it's way easier to have that like project manager voice and that realistic voice and the responsible voice to be like, hey, you can't do all these things that sound like moderately cool. And even if you did, you wouldn't enjoy them. You would ruin them for yourself if you did them. And so I think like, how are we keeping ourselves honest here? It's because we haven't in the past. It's gone bad. And I think only now we figured out how to avoid that.
Totally. Really quick, shout-outs to Adam Conover in the chat, and I wanted to say people should go listen to the episode. I mean, they should go listen to Factually anyway, but the Factually episode on NFT art with Everest Pipkin, who's written a really great post a few months ago about NFT art and NFTs and answering all of the questions about why you should be a little skeptical about those. Go listen to that episode. It's a really fantastic episode. Absolutely fuck an NFT.
Are NFTs done?
No, they're not. I follow some artists who still are like on that on.
But
that
I heard
train,
the market like and completely ate shit.
That doesn't mean people have stopped advertising them in my feed. Unfortunately. All right, I'm gonna keep moving. It's time for some E3 questions. You'll see I've added questions about E3 just to clarify. This
question,
one comes in from
who
Art.
Is running the E3 social account and
good question.
What's wrong with them?
What's wrong? Yeah, This is Art Martinez Tebble, Friends of the Table's own. What you're meaning to tell me E3 hasn't started already? We've gotten some E3-ish. We're in the pre-E3 phase. Trailers are dropping, right? You know, we're getting some leaks. We're in the leak phase of E3 at this point.
Yeah, you got Microsoft accidentally putting in the back end of Steam release dates for Psychonauts 2 right before they formally announce its actual release date. You know, it seems like late August. That's funny.
We'll see. Are y'all going to talk over the conferences? What does your E3 coverage look like? Summer Games Fest stuff? Tabitha. Also some nice words that I didn't read, but, you know, instant subscriber, can't wait to see the full treatment. Content, not treatment, content. I can't see it through the ring light.
So, I think at first we were like, there's barely going to be any E3. And there's going to be slightly more E3 than we thought, than we feared. So we'll be doing some of that stuff.
We already, you know what? I think E3 kicked off yesterday when Rob Zachney, Vinny Caravella, and I talked over the Warhammer Skulls showcase, looking at all 57 of the new Warhammer games coming out in the next year. So that's the beginning of E3 to me, baby. The E3 season, at least. But yeah, there's a lot more stuff than maybe we thought there was going to be, Rob.
Yeah, I mean, for one thing, there's 50 Warhammer games. I don't know what else the game industry can possibly hold for us.
Well, we'll find out. We are going to talk over conferences. Rob and Patrick are coming in next week.
Yep.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we'll be here, twitch.tv/waypoint. We will be talking over conferences, talking about any demos we've had this week. I know I'm scheduled to see one game this coming week.
We have a studio book. Patrick, you're saying. We may not have furniture for that studio, but by God, we have the space.
There's a camera and there'll be people.
There's a camera, there will be people.
And then if we have to put out to the Waypoint, we'll send a message to the Waypoint Plus subscribers. Anyone got a couch?
Can anyone bring a couch through to the studio real quick? You're not allowed in because of COVID precautions.
leave the couch.
We'll pick it up. We're gonna have some friends, you know, swing through a couple times probably. We're gonna have some folks from the motherboard team come through, play some games. Like, that's the thing, is like, if there's a lot of downtime, we're gonna fill that downtime with goofing off, playing games, taking questions, etc.
Yeah. And it'll be like mostly daytime streams.
Yeah, you know, we're not gonna do any late in the night shit.
Nothing 2 a.m. you know, I can see his
famous last words though.
Yeah,
right?
I can see his, you know,
that
I can see
won't
his bending
happen
that,
again.
But yeah, well, but the general idea is that we're streaming in the morning so that we can all, like, go get dinner, hang out, catch up after not seeing each other in person for a long time, and that's kind of also what this getting together is about. But, I mean, also, like, you know, that's also the nice part about Waypoint Plus is it will probably mean that we have the, like, budget to get together, like, a lot more frequently now that, you know, we're vaccinated and can figure out those plans a little more often.
Exactly. Heaterhand says somebody better make sure that Danica hasn't left data on her phone. I think being out of the vice office means our internet will be okay. I hope.
Also, somebody, Austin, sleep in the evening? Too much truth.
Too true. Too true. Here we go. TJ writes in, when will we get another Rob grocery haul? Waypoint forever.
Not this time around, because I don't think we didn't book the kitchen. We could have booked the kitchen.
That's true. We didn't book the kitchen.
Damn, we should have booked the kitchen. Fuck.
I bet it's open.
I mean, who's going to stop? It's the weekend.
It's the weekend.
Like, we're just going to...
It's a freaking weekend.
Yeah. Like, can Munchies stop us? I don't think so.
No, but it might cost us a lot of money to book that kitchen. If I remember right, the Munchies kitchen is a weird
thing. Oh, I wonder if there's different insurance shit with it, where it's, like, just operating it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And it's tied to other brands and stuff.
But my understanding is, like, there's not a lot of people in the office, and we have a lot of space. Like, we're talking about what's that second set.
That's
if there was
saying.
A second set, is it like a little kitchen area?
Just go get the little kitchen area.
Prepare some cocktails, make some, you know, whatever. Like,
you know, what about the non-Munchies kitchen? What about the regular kitchen? Can we just plug in a toaster oven and we can see what you can do with it?
I could get like a little induction cooktop.
This is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Get a hot plate and a little pot, heat up some water, you got a stew going. A little hot plate stew. You ain't live,
we'll have
son.
A camera on the stew while it's being made.
Someone says kettle roasted chicken. We could try to roast the kettle. No, we're not doing it.
Everybody gets food poisoning on the first day of fake E3.
Oh, God.
Stew Cam.
Oh, God. A real important one here from some Somniferous Gamer. Hey, Austin, Griftlands just launched on Switch. That's incredible. I love Griftlands. I saw that it had come out of Early Access this week. I did not know it was coming to Switch this week. I should check my email.
Do you think I will like that game?
I think
it's more narrative-driven, right? Which is sort of my issue with, like, the Slays of the Spires world.
It's still run-based, but it is narrative-based in a way that I think the world and character design and stuff will bring you in a little bit.
Yeah, like, I need
the hook.
You'll
think,
like,
it's cool, at least.
All right.
Yeah, there's three different characters. Those characters are all cool. The world is sick. I'm excited to go download that immediately after this podcast. Next one here, Justin writes in, tell me, Waypoint crew, with E3 rumors wafting through the air, what has been more or less confirmed to be true, and what do you feel is pure speculation? How much more does the gaming press tend to actually know about what's fact and what's fiction before the rest of us? Would revealing what you know be akin to reviewing a game before the embargo is up? How does that work? Excited to check out Waypoint Plus, Justin.
I know a lot, and I often tell Austin.
Yeah.
You hear things. I've heard a lot about a number of games that I think people are going to be really excited about. But I, you know, like, personally, like, I'm not super interested in the, like, breaking game is coming out business. I got nothing against
Well, I get sometimes something against, like, people just breaking that stuff for the sake of breaking it. But this is not sort of my cup of tea in terms of the time and energy I spend on reporting. But I don't know. I don't think it's akin to reviewing a game before the embargo is up. Like, oftentimes, like, for example, you know, when doing our E3 planning, we have, like, a group chat. And every time I'm hearing something, I'm sort of telling that group chat because that's, like, giving us a shape of, like, how much focus should we put on a thing? Like, is this something we really need to be excited about and want to talk about? Because I've heard, you know, X game, you know, I had heard the Guardians of the Galaxy game was going to be there before they announced that. So at least that gave us a sense of, like, the Square thing. So,
Or did that leak today?
Did you just leak that? No. The legal firm Grubb and Schreier already.
I see.
I got you. Yeah. When the Square teaser went out, so I'm just you know chasing their coattails on that. I would say most people who have been in the industry for a long time know more than they are telling, but probably less than you think.
A good example of this. Is another thing is information changes. So I think about that Superman game leak that people for years, there was a rumor that there was definitely a Superman game coming. And that was sort of true, right? Because it ended up being a game about killing Superman, which ended up being Suicide Squad, right?
Also, maybe there were prototypes.
Exactly. That's exactly the thing. It's like, was there at some point a first playable of a Superman game? They decided it didn't work and they went a different direction. Who could say? That stuff gets out there and it changes over time. And also, sources have different places in the industry. Sometimes you catch someone who is like in the middle of two different companies. Sometimes you have someone who works very closely with one single company. And so, you know, sourcing can be weird. There's a little bit of like you're in Plato's cave and reading the shadows on the wall. And it's hard to know from the outside what's true and what's speculation sometimes. For instance, there was that Nintendo Switch Pro, rumor all week that was going to drop. It's one of those things where it's like, yes. Do I believe Nintendo was working on a new Switch model? I do believe that. But was I skeptical when I saw someone say that they were going to put it up for pre-orders at midnight EST at midnight? There was not even a time zone announced for it last night. Yes, I was skeptical of that. That at 2 p.m. in Japan on a Thursday midnight in the U.S., they would just go right to pre-orders without it being attached to some sort of announce video, you know? Not the case. You know what I mean? So you get to feel it out a little bit. Shout outs to Natalie Watson in the chat who says Waypoint Forever.
Oh, thank you, Natalie.
Here we go. Hello, Waypoint crew. Are there any games you're hoping against all hope that we get to see from E3 this year that might still have or that might have a surprise 2021 release? Elden Ring is the obvious one. For me, it's Hollow Knight Silksong. Why won't they give us anything on this game?
They already said anyway, it's not going to be E3.
Did they just say that?
They straight up said it's not going to be there. Sorry.
Oh, Silksong. Yes, I was going to. The reason
Elden Ring.
This
no,
question,
I'm Austin and I are reading
Elden
like,
Ring
forum
pills.
Threads
yeah,
and like
yes.
like being like this insider.
Someone,
if you file this 450 page thread.
Yes,
this insider, which I trust.
Shout out to
Omni. Other ones.
Listen, there are insiders you trust and insiders you don't trust.
Yeah.
That insider. Some insiders have good records. Breath of the Wild 2 is obviously the one that I would love to see and then have a 2021 release. I'm not confident of that in any way. I don't believe it'll be 2021. If I had to guess speculation, it would come out in the same window that Breath of the Wild 1 came out, which is late winter 2022, right? Like February, March, somewhere in there. If it's on track, right? We might get the classic Nintendo, we're sorry, we still don't have anything else to say about Breath of the Wild 2. We hope you're excited for Skyward Sword Remaster, even though we're making you buy amiibos to get access to fast travel, which, by the way, that fucking sucks.
Yep.
Excuse me.
One thing I would say that from when I've talked to folks that are familiar with like Nintendo's sort of like thinking on things is I think most people, because this is how like Microsoft and Sony traditionally operate, is that, new Switch Pro comes out this fall.
Yeah.
Thus, we need really big game tied to it to push this hardware with a big piece of software. It's just how the industry has operated historically. Nintendo they have thought that way in the past. They don't think that way with the Switch
anymore, which is not, you know, I'm not saying, oh, that rules out like Breath of the Wild 2 coming in the fall. If that was just the plan, that's just the plan, it lined up. But I don't think that Nintendo operates on the philosophy, with the Switch especially, that it needs to tie those things together, because you know what they're right about? It's going to sell just fine regardless. Yep. And if Breath of the Wild came, you know, next spring or next summer, that would juice sales for all SKUs of the Switch anyway. So they just don't, that game, that machine just sells so well that they can kind of throw out traditional ways of getting people excited.
I'm also not sure. I don't believe that the it would be good if that console came out before Breath of the Wild 2 and Pokemon Legends, whatever that Legends one is.
That game having a release date, it boggles me.
Me too. But I don't think that the Switch Pro that we're looking forward to is going. People shouldn't be thinking of it as a Switch 2.
No,
or even
definitely.
A PS4 Pro.
Based
even?
On what I've heard, definitely not.
Yeah.
Like, I would lower your expectations.
Yeah, exactly. But more than the previous Switch re-release of like a different battery, but not all the way to this is going to be a huge boost to
I'm getting 60 FPS in all my Switch games. Like, nah, it's just
I would love it. You trust
sure.
me. I'd love
yeah,
to
if they wanted to charge
this,
me $500 for like an overpowered Switch, I would be there on day one, but Nintendo just doesn't. They're not interested.
Yeah. We got another one here, Anonymous. Looking past the version of E3 that's happening next week and whether or not it'll be able to return back to its quote-unquote normal state eventually, what do you see for the future of the fan-slash-consumer events like PAX or your regional conventions a la Dragon Con? Do you think game publishers and developers will want to spend the time and money to set up booths and staff those events? Or in the past year, do you think that they have settled into maybe preferring to reach a possible wider audience through their own produced videos and such? And as members of the press, what are your interests in attending events like PAX in the future? Are y'all thirsty for PAX again?
I am thirsty.
Yeah, I want a reason to see people again.
Yeah, but see, this is the thing. Like, I don't give a shit about PAX. Like, PAX is nice. You know what's really nice, though, is getting seafood near PAX with the team. And then afterwards being like, hey, you want to go find kind of a grimy bar by the waterfront to go, like, drink a ton of beer at? Yes. Like, that's kind of what, like, and that's the thing, it's like, excuses to gather are great. And I think that's true of most people who attend these things. Most people are there, like, it is an excuse to see a bunch of people, probably from around the country, around the world, that you do not get to see in person very often.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people genuinely have more than a few things at a convention they really are keen to see or be a part of. But yeah, I think, for me, like, I don't think these things are going away. And I think as long as they exist, developers and publishers will have reasons to attend them in some capacity. I don't know how much they'll be used as, like, places to do your big reveals or build your hype, like, in places that you don't control as the publisher.
Right.
But the events are going to exist because the need exists, like, organically.
I will say part of what I do like about the events are seeing people. One, we've already said, like, seeing people who are your friends already, but I do also want to say one is getting to meet fans and, like, talk to fans after an event or doing a meetup or something like that is just not something that comes any other way, basically. And then two is devs. It's just like getting some of my favorite experiences at E3s and PAXs have been not just sitting down at the getting your appointment and, like, sitting down and going through the demo, but getting the opportunity to interview someone. Especially with the PAX, sometimes, like, taking one of those hotel lobby demos versus the on-the-show floor demo. Going back a few years for PAX West, I like, took a cab out to someone's house in the Seattle area to go play Thousand Threads, that game that we talked about last year a little bit. And that was just, like, this is what the best version of this is for me, is, like, really chill environment, talk to a dev, and that happens because there are so many devs around that you have an excuse to go into an area. And then going to meet, like, you know, my first year at Giant Bomb, I took like four or five just meet me at the hotel lobby and show me your game on a laptop style demos. And then that also allowed for a deeper conversation with developers. And that is also part of the networking stuff, right? Is like those events tend to also have a couple of times over the weekend. You go and meet up for dinner with some journal friends you have who happen to also have a developer friend, or you know a developer and you meet their friends also, and then those connections end up leading to, being in those, getting those press emails 3 months later that you wouldn't have gotten those press emails because this person doesn't even have a PR agent. They just have a list of people they know in the industry and they're releasing something, you know, where they know someone who is. And so they put that in front of you. And so building out that web of connections, I think, is really useful. So, next question. Congrats on the launch of Waypoint Plus. I've been a fan of the site/pod for years, so I'm really excited for the future of content. The future of content, capital F, capital C.
Yeah, that capitalization I can get behind.
Yeah, I love this. Yay, Tactical Tuesdays. What are your expectations regarding the infrastructure/organization on part of this year's E3? Will the special app actually work? Are they going to leak everyone's business cards? Will it be possible to maintain some form of schedule, et cetera, et cetera? And that's from Lena.
I'm going to find this email I got.
Please. I got my email. I got my confirmation today. I got my E3 acceptance letter, which is nice.
I got an email I have gotten a handful of, see the game, here are some time slots sort of thing.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be pretty, not a ton. I think it's going to add up to, a half a dozen at most that I end up getting involved. But there's this one that's, here's the pitch. And then it says right before the time slots, you can almost see a deep sigh written into it. Even though it's not there. It's we are just starting outreach ... last minute ... to set up media appointments ... there's almost, you can read the exasperation with E3 as an organization in that email. I don't think, supposedly the app is going to work, early next week for I don't know what that means. And in the pitches are you'll be able to interact with exhibitors. It's is that, you mean my inbox? My email? What do you mean
interacting with exhibitors?
What
does that
mean? I don't know.
Just don't worry about it. Apparently, have y'all logged into the E3 site since this?
I logged in. It said you're approved, and then kicked me back to the screen where I had to put my password in again. And I was I don't know.
Did you? Well, the email I got from them today was all right, so you're gonna have to go to the website and then hit forgot my password, even though you
had to put in a password when you were registered. Yeah,
it's sure. Very funny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. My expectations are that the app will work. It will be disappointing. It will probably crash because all of this is, going real fast. No one's going to make an avatar. The best they could probably hope for.
I'm going to make an avatar.
Of course, I guess.
Yeah.
People are going to make an avatar, but the best they can hope for is that it becomes a bad meme on Twitter.
Right.
That people are kind of making fun of. But yeah, I don't know. People like the idea of a week of events where they can the original idea of E3 spun off of CES was, what if we take the collective interest of the industry and put it under a couple of days, which then spread slowly over the course to a week and a half over 15 years, and I think you even see everyone I got Jeff Keighley out here straight up just fucking chuckling at E3, adding journalists to be look at this broken ass shit. And yet he's claiming formal E3 events to feel they're under his Summer of Games banner. So everyone still likes the notion of a number of days where we all get blasted with marketing and surprises and trailers. And I still like that part. I it is still exciting to me even, and I will skirt around learning things that I could know because I'm not going to report it. You know what's more fun? It's seeing the trailer for new Silent Hill and losing my mind over it with everyone else.
Like that Blair Witch one last year, right?
Yeah, game was bad. Totally. But the
I was just having this conversation. Yeah, I've had this conversation a lot with people where there's such a big difference. There's such a big gap between what is this? Hey, does anyone know? What is this? And
what's that music?
Versus, oh yeah, this is that new fantasy game by blank. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
And it's tough because I know as members of the quote unquote enthusiast press, we often have to be careful about falling into the trap of just being part of a hype machine. But I like to get excited when people who've worked hard on something get to debut their thing. And as a creator, if someone leaked a trailer for a Friends at the Table season, before we were ready for it, like before maybe the music was finished or before my like intro was written perfectly or whatever, I'd be fucking pissed because I know that there's you've one chance to make a first impression, right? And so that doesn't mean that I'm not I don't think that there's like value in a leak sometimes. I also sometimes am the sort of fan who is like, you know, we've done, let me see that early Elden Ring footage. Do you know what I mean? It's hard to find what that line is, I think. I think for me, the stuff that I think is all the way I'm not too interested in it is revealing specifics about a project that has zero announcement yet, because especially if that project is not like troubled in some way where people need to, you know, there are exceptions,
or like I think there like but. I thought like, you know, when Jason Schreier just, you know, at Kotaku was like, yeah, they're making a new Fallout. Like, I think it's useful. Like yeah, sure. Of course they're just like,
yeah.
It's not like trying to blow up their spot. It's like, yeah, like, shut the fuck up. Like, they're making a new Fallout because of course they're making a new Fallout. Yeah. And I think
you don't need to
That's like in terms of like when reporters like are revealing things, like I think it's better to demystify that sort of stuff frequently, because the industry gets up its own ass about secrecy, and it's like, yeah, of course they're making another Fallout, like big whoop.
The other thing there is that, like, I also think that there is a degree to which, it's funny because like a lot of that coverage comes from our audience wants to know this, right? And when you have a huge audience, your audience wants to know that. Now that we are like a DTC setup, a subscriber setup, I don't know that our audience cares if there's a new unannounced Kingdom Hearts game, would they want to know about it? And the answer is actually yes. Our audience would want us to leak whether or not Nomura is finally going to do justice by Kyrie. I will only reveal what I know about
future Kingdom Hearts games.
Have you
heard After Dark
about Kingdom Hearts?
Union Cross? The summaries they made. My only takeaway from reading the summaries of how that ended was, I need to get the group back together to talk about this.
We gotta convene. Natalie already left the chat, but
council needs to get back together to try and understand what the.
Do you know the big thing? Do you know the one true big thing?
Yeah, about the villain.
About it?
Yeah.
About the villain and your relationship to the villain? Yes. Okay. Yes. Making sure. We should go to the next question.
Okay.
I don't think that app's going to be any good. But for real, says Arcturus, if E3 finally died, a just death, which is a great way of thinking about the end of an event.
What is that? What is the just death?
What kind of event would y'all want to attend or cover? I don't like the ESA very much, but I do like having an event, you know? During the long quarantine, getting into a group chat and watching Nintendo Directs with friends was a blast. I like that feeling. I would love more events. I would love more... We don't need to get into the discourse, but my feelings on, like, the Wholesome Direct are probably as complicated as anyone else's, if not more complicated. But I do like the idea of independent showcases like that, which, take or leave Wholesome as a category, which I think is a very loaded term and blah, 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 there are lots of independent games that get shown at something like that, and the big collective kind of collection of them does get more eyes on them per, than they would in if they were individually pushed out there. I think some more showcases like that would be fun. I really like it when developers get to talk about their games a little bit. So we've seen a few things over the last year where there will be a developer, there's a game trailer shown, and it'll be like a 2-minute long talk about, I think maybe even that last, not the last Sony one, but one of the Sony events had that set up where it was like, maybe it was one of the Microsoft ones, game trailer, then 2 minutes of someone explaining what they like about their own game, what their hook is in their own game. I love that format and would love to see more in, you know, events like that are publisher agnostic, especially for independent stuff, where it's a collection of games that feels either like there's something interesting about them, or there is that they fit together in some way. Though that's kind of how you end up in the Wholesome discourse, is because you've tried to like, how do we blanket and tie all these games together? So just more of things like that are what I would like for sure. I don't know if anyone else has any replacement events in their minds.
Not also if like E3 is going to continue or like get reinvented as something else. Like, it's not a fan event, and like that's hard. That's a different type of event. And so if E3 was to come back, it's not like an app and like an avatar. It's like, why you know, there's no board. I mean, it would just become PAX, and I just don't know that E3 is capable of pulling off an event like that. But yeah, I like
I, also don't want
I like
another
together.
PAX. Yeah, that's
I think
it.
The last thing I'll just add to this, just it occurs to me the industry is consolidated so much and all the publishers make so few bets that, like, trade shows are just less interesting now because nobody, like, nobody puts out that many games, and they certainly don't put out ones you haven't already played before. And so that's, you know, you already alluded to, well, what's the real purpose of Wholesome Direct? Well, it's because you, like, you got to figure out a theme that people are going to be like, yeah, I want to get excited for a bunch of games in this really vague, abstract vein that, like, thematically tie together somehow. Sure.
Yep.
And I think, like, really, I think we'd kind of enjoy if, like, E3 just had... We do love the big, stupid reveal shit. We love... Like, that's fun. Yep. But the industry doesn't put out that many of those. Instead, you get, like, bombarded with, like, staggered marketing campaigns for the same thing over and over again. And so I think it's become harder to have an event that has the variety to make an event good.
Yeah. I saw someone, says Anonymous, in game journalism say it's strange that Nintendo is having a showcase on the last day of E3, even though they're usually on the first day. However, they were always the last showcase. I think to a lot of people, the showcases are more E3 than the show floor was. Being on the journalism side, has this shift been strange for you? It is really weird to think that E3 is next weekend and not the week of appointments that follows, though I know, for instance... there are going to be appointments in the week that follows for things. So it's not like there are none. It's, but that, putting it in my head in that way is very strange. The fact that we're not just going to go watch the conferences and then do the work the week that follows is a little weird for my brain. I have not made that shift quite yet. So I don't know.
I'm the same way.
I hope that us doing this gives me some of that energy, because I've said this before, I like that version of me. It's the closest I feel to, like, when I used to play football, of, like, I'm in game mode. I'm in that mode. Or, like, it's the same thing as, like, when I was doing my PhD work, and it was like, it's exam time, baby. I'm gonna write 3 20-page essays in 3 days. It's gonna happen. And, like, being in that mode is really energizing for me in for, like, the rest of that period of the year, basically. It's like I've gone into a certain gear, and I like being in that gear. I don't want to be in that gear all the time, but I like having an excuse. I like playoff season. You know what I mean? Yeah. E3 is playoff season. And so I don't know that I'll get that from this, and I'm going to miss that, but I'm going to try to bring that energy to our next week's cover.
Well, and it's also fun, like, to be in the room and watching someone else get excited about a thing, like, slowly, like, you know, like, lose their minds. They try and figure out what that thing is. That's really exciting. And to do that with people, it's not the same as watching a chat, you know, go wild. Like, to sit next to someone as you see them, like, go through that roller coaster is, like, my favorite part of stuff like that.
Totally. All right. Real important question from Emil here. Mm. So now that it looks like E3 is done once and for all, which we're not sure of that, but, you know, will it be a just death? Who could say? Is this the last of L.A. Rob?
As long as there's an L.A., there's an L.A. Rob. Like, a part of me has never left. Let me tell you, L.A. Rob had his, like, my best day in L.A. was after E3 ended last year, and I took the expo line all the way out to Santa Monica, and I walked down from Santa Monica to Venice, walked the entire beach, hung out in Venice all day, and walked back up at sunset. The perfect day. Iconic. Didn't realize that was the last time I was going to be in L.A. for a year and a half, 2 years, maybe three. Who knows? But, like, I have that memory. I did. I was like, you know what? You know what sounds good? Spending an entire day just walking the beach, man. Just, like, being part of it and just, like, soaking it in and vibing. And, like, was that E3 content? Yes. For me.
Technically.
For me.
Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Is that... Patrick, do you have any L.A. Rob thoughts? Are you ready for... What if you come down next week and you get here and L.A. Rob is here instead of Boston Rob?
I think it's... You know, I don't know. I don't know what Rob's going to show up. I feel like...
There is New York Rob. That's a different Rob,
right?
What is
New York Rob? I feel like I've never heard that phrase set out loud.
We can't jump ahead. I think there's a question. All right. Did I include the New York Rob question? Okay, good. I'm glad you've looked ahead for me to ensure that. All right. Third topic. Honestly, whatever. I have here evidence. I did say what's next, E3 plans. Honestly, whatever. So we also got some honestly whatever questions here.
Also, first question. We are so close to Vince McMahon head whipping around. Like,
oh, are we?
So close.
Are we almost at the target?
Yes. We are.
Can we hit the target live?
We are within. We're within 40 of the target number.
It could happen.
It could happen.
So it could happen. It could happen.
We could. Can we get a hype train going?
No, but not, hype train.
But not here.
But not here. With hype plus. Train. Not a hype train here. Mm. You can't see the feedback. That's the problem.
There's no. Yeah. There's no way to plug the API into Twitch.
No, because that would take money out of Twitch's pocket, of course. Right. So why would they? Why would they do that? Why would they choose?
That feels like something. Like, can we pay someone to do a script for? I feel like there are workarounds.
I think there probably are workarounds, and that we might get into trouble if we did one.
This could
get
some
trouble.
But
doesn't mean that. Right. That's the thing. Let's get into some fucking trouble.
Let's
baby.
Go. Come on, Twitch.
The first question here in our whatever one just says, what's good? This comes in from Joel Fowler. I didn't leave the Joel email in because I don't want to spoil anyone's email. Actually, the email itself wouldn't have been there, I guess, right? So, hey, Joel, I just want to shout out Joel Fowler and say we would not be here without a lot of work from Joel years ago, who helped us get Waypoint off the ground. Likewise, again, I've said this before, Mike Diver, obviously Danielle Riendo, now over at Fanbyte, running things over there as EIC, to obviously the other folks who've been with us over the years, like Danica and Natalie, like the folks here at Motherboard right now, like Gita and Jason and Emmanuel and everybody else who's come through over the last little bit. So shout outs to everyone who has done so much for us over the last few years. A lot of the ideation, quote-unquote, of what this would be came through old conversations with Joel. Conversations is underselling it. Old work meetings with Joel, talking through things with Joel, dreaming about who we'd want to work with, putting together decks. So shout-outs to Joel. I'm glad. Joel, I'm glad. I wish you could be here with us. I wish you could be here to celebrate. I wish you were in New York to come through. That would be very good.
One day there are like a certain sets of meetings that if one day we could ever disclose occurred, it would be like very funny.
Yeah, exactly. I think we could disclose that not today. Mm-mm. I think we should talk.
You know
about
the ones I'm talking about, right?
I do know the ones. Are you kidding me? Because okay. There's parts of that story, Patrick. Do you remember parts of that story when you found out? Some of those ideas we had?
Yes.
Okay, because we have to tell that story at some point, because that's a very funny story. Yes. I think if we hit that goal today, we should tell that story next week.
Okay, all right, yes.
For E3, I think there'd be a reason.
At the E3 thing, or is that like an after dark?
Well, I think that there'll be a good excuse to tell that story at E3, if you
know
what I mean.
That's fair.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Yeah, okay. Little teases. Kato, go stop. Is Kato in the chat? Kato, leave the chat. You're on vacation.
As long as he's like got his feet up, he's drinking a Kato tail.
A Kato tail.
Whatever.
That cartoon was great. I loved it.
Can we ban Kato?
We can't ban Kato. I'm not going to ban Kato.
It's like a temporary ban.
I just want to verify. I've got the count right here. We are extremely close, but I think.
We got one in here, speaking of Fanbyte, Nicholas Grayson from Fanbyte wrote in to say, yo, I don't have a question, just want to say hey, hey.
Hey.
Hi, Nikki. How you doing? I hope you're good. Question from Jason. God damn it. Can you figure out if there's a scientifically sound way to correlate Motherboard's traffic to whether Emmanuel got a Warzone win the night before? I have a working theory that we do our best work after Emmanuel has tasted sweet victory, and that this will bear out when put through a rigorous series of tests. I don't know. Y'all are the science reporters. Can't you do...
Tune in to a Friday, next Friday on our E3 Bonanza stream. We'll see. Maybe we can do some real time science.
Come through. We'll do some. Right. Exactly. Would you like to play a game, like you said? And
okay,
we'll...
Would you like to? Can't do it.
I think this is a powerful hypothesis. I think this is. What was the who? Oh my God! Why am I blanking on the name of the like pop psychologist who?
The one that everyone hates.
okay, why are you going away? Well, there's many that people hate. I'm not the one you're thinking of. Not Blink. Not what's his face?
With the curly hair.
Malcolm Gladwell. No? Not Malcolm Gladwell. Who? Yeah, is if I was like a higher tier person on the internet, if I was truly the internet's Austin Walker, Malcolm Gladwell would probably be my nemesis. I almost said emesis, which is not. Oh my god. She's like a big games person who is like, oh, your brain becomes unlocked when you play video. When you play video games, you super game. McGonagall. Yes,
McGonagall?
Yes,
and I got halfway through and then McGonagall. I was like, am I about to slander a person?
Yes. Jane McGonagall absolutely believes the thing that is in this question.
All right.
Fully. Super Better is all about this.
That's like Brain Age was like the same era as McGonagall pushing
100%,
that. 100%. And also, hasn't it like been proven in retrospect that Brain Age was like a bunch of horseshit? Like,
it's a bunch of horseshit. 100%.
Or like, then it could be fun, not going to like stop your brain from rotting.
It's not. I believe it's not nothing, but there are limits to the ways in which we should talk about the way brains actually function and the ways in which games can produce effects, and the sort of like gamification of everyday life, etc. Anyway,
we hit it.
I think we should do these tests. Well,
we haven't done it. Austin hasn't done the thing.
Wait, but we hit it.
No, you can't even confirm that until I hear something.
Well, you have to hear it.
Yeah.
I was gonna, well,
oh, you
okay.
can play it
well,
for the audience. Just give me a link and I'll hit me a three.
I'm
give
gonna,
me a 3-2-1.
I'm
going to
hit you. I'm going to hit you with a link. Are you ready?
Okay. All right. Yeah, here we go. All right. 3-2-1.
Thank you to our fans who have shown their incredible support to us. I guess a month ago, 2 months ago, Jason was like, there's a number that we can try to hit. And if we hit this, the execs are going to be very excited.
Yeah, but hit it by the end of the year or a year from now.
Yeah, they said a year from now. We hit it within a week. I think, in fact, a week and an hour. Something
we didn't
like
even
that.
Make it to our... And then I think privately said, like, well, we'll hit it probably.
We'll
like,
hit it
we
by
think,
E3.
We think we can hit it. Or even, like, during that stream, it's like, we'll hit that. Yeah. It'll be good. Now...
Yeah. Now we are Vince McMahon.
Joel Fowler outside the glass doors on South 2nd Street with the bam, I got her number.
Yeah, I got her fucking number. Yeah, exactly. Thank you also, obviously, to Scott 2 Network, whose version of the Love Live Snow Halation theme is now playing behind us, which is extremely, extremely good. Also, by the way, Scott 2 Network's...
Scott 2 Network, I just saw that! Oh,
have you just
God.
Not seen... Have you never seen this before?
I just didn't see the logo. I didn't see the logo.
Yeah, they are part of a real ska band. I was literally yesterday reading an article about their new album. God, what is it? What is the name of it? It's We Are the Union. They're part of a band called We Are the Union. Which just dropped a new ska album, which seems pretty good from what I heard of it. So shout outs to We Are the Union, and shout outs to Muse and Love Live and Snow Halation, and shout outs to everyone who has subscribed. Waypointplus.com. We fucking made it. We did the thing.
Wow.
What a relief. I'm sweating out of relief.
Also,
having hit that
I was
number.
Distracted by the number, but there's some crucial context I found out the other day about this Warzone situation.
Oh, okay.
Now, I'm not entirely sure this isn't a little bit of, like, roleplay that, like, Emmanuel is, like, kind of into, but apparently...
Oh, right, yes.
Team Motherboard has a shot caller.
And
it ain't
Emmanuel. Yeah.
No, it's Joseph Cox.
Oh, is Joseph the shot caller? I thought we said Emmanuel was the...
No. See, the thing is, like, Jason reached the conclusion, or Emmanuel reached the conclusion, that, like, Joseph is their ace. And
right.
they just have to do what Joseph says, and now Joseph gives them permission to do everything in the game.
I see.
Like, Emmanuel,
right.
you may pick up that, that SMG.
Right,
yeah.
Sure.
And apparently that's the only way they win now. So, I don't know, like, in terms of motherboard performance, like, as a site, that question, you know, we'll have to
right.
leave that
to
science.
Now we've got to, right, there's some additional, right... Absolutely. Sorry, I was listening to the end of that song, which is still very good. Also, someone in the chat, I've lost it now, it's just said, Carrot Time, babies! Which, I love Carrot Time as a way of
also, subscribing. Also, some, like, very funny person spammed the carrot, like, 9 times, and
good.
They got muted for five seconds by Nightbot for spamming carrots.
Raise the carrot post into the Ring of Honor for this stream.
I don't know what the limit is. It's like four carrots.
People are now like, are really playing chicken with it. I think five carrots.
Right up to that.
Right up to the carrot limit. We got another question.
No one's done six.
This is an important one.
Oh, look at it. Oh, wow.
Oh, but that's a mod. One of the mods. Vehemently use that. That's abusive mod power. Oh, carrots in the chat. Love that. Hey, what character build would you be most excited to use in Elden Ring, assuming the majority of the stat types carry over from the Soul series? Thanks, Ryan.
So luck's the most important stat, right?
Luck's the most important.
Luck build.
Rob Zachney, luck build. I would like... the thing is, I've been playing Dragon's Dogma, and I started thinking, you know what would be sick is, what if they really leaned in to open world RPG-ness, and on top of regular Dark Souls stuff, they also included new verbs and new, like, abilities. Like, they broadened out what spells look like, so that you have
That's what I feel like it has to be. Like, that's what this question actually...
I don't if just it's want true, this. I do I'm want pre- those stats, but...
Yeah, but I think when we've had these conversations, I'd be preemptively disappointed that the game would not push me in a different direction.
Correct.
If I could just be soldier type for, like, you know, the eighth time in a row.
Right. I would love there to be...
Or I'm soldier type with X,
right,
Y,
right,
Z.
Right. I understand that part of the joy of Dark Souls is it's classless, and I wouldn't want it to not be classless. I wouldn't want to go to classes the way that, like, Dragon's Dogma has, but I would love for there to be, like, well, when you get this many points... obviously, it's already there with spells to some degree, but I would like that spell integration to look more like ability integration in another game or something. So,
But I still think I constantly think about in the leaked footage, the stealth stuff.
Yeah,
like, that's what gets going. Is like, okay, stealth has never really been a thing. It was kind of in Sekiro, but that's because it was more
built for that.
That was more thematic than it was like actually like a real concentrated part of the gameplay.
That's a good thing. Is like think about the way that in Sekiro you were using items all the time. I would love that style of like constant use. And again, I know there are spell builds that are like that sort of, but I would love that style of like more than a focus on using a wider skill set. And so inside of that. I don't know. I just finished reading Berserk, so maybe I would do a big dual-handed, you know, claymore build. So we'll see.
I'm now just imagining
the horse,
like Austin calling in to like New York sports radio, to argue about the classlessness of the Souls games.
I just think these games don't have any class, Mike.
That's not how it's supposed to be done. That's not how we play the RPG.
Just like the Knicks.
Oh.
R.I.P. to the Knicks.
All right, rip
sorry,
to the Knicks
fans. Hey,
shout out to Knicks fans everywhere.
R.I.P. to the Lakers dynasty.
Ooh, that was a rough one.
Yeah, I saw LeBron out today. It's like time to pivot to Space Jam 2, and I was like, all right, bro.
Damn. Jason Finelli, who signed here, freelance video games journalist, picked for the last two Smash Brothers Ultimate characters, LeBron James and Guts from Berserk. I know it's another sword character, but this one's different. I know that Ike from Fire Emblem is already a Guts from Berserk, but I don't care.
Come on, they gotta if they finish it with Goku, that would just make me so happy.
Oh, please put Goku in that game. People are saying Bowsette. They'll never put Bowsette in anything.
No, they will never acknowledge that Bowsette
existed.
Exists.
Vector Man would be good. Guy Fieri. Dale Cooper would be good. I'd say they couldn't do it, but they could do it. The Phantom of the Paradise? Yes, good. What if, no Goku, but Piccolo? I like that idea.
Just to make people mad.
Just to make people mad, exactly. Exactly.
Get the carrot and smash.
Doom Guy, I could imagine. I want Doom Guy, but I want it to be like Jill from Marvel vs. Capcom. I think that's Jill, where like the zombies show up whenever she does attacks, and like that's part of her attack, or some of her special attacks are like... enemies from Resident Evil showing up. I want that with Doom Guy, where like occasionally a cyber demon just shows up or whatever, you know.
And I want the aesthetic of the Doom Guy to actually be like the plushies that you find in the original like Doom 2016. Like that, I want it to be a big hulking plushie Doom.
Ooh, Kiryu says Teddy Bear XO. That's a great one.
But there's been no Yakuza games on Switch.
Is that right? Because they don't like to associate with the Yakuza.
Well, that's true. Is that why those games
that's
aren't
my,
on
that's
Switch?
My you know, who could say?
Have there been any like data mines or like leaks on the last two?
I can't say that definitively, but I think that it's funny. I don't know.
Damn.
Yeah.
You cracked
the case. Zagreus is a fun one. Zagreus from Hades could be fun. Again, a sword character. Oh, but not necessarily a sword character. If you put Zag in and then have different weapons, that would be sick. I don't think they're going to do that, but it would be good. Anakin Skywalker. There we go. That's the right answer. Hi, says Theodore, Austin, Rob, Patrick, and all. Congratulations on launching Waypoint Plus. I hope it goes well. My question is the following. Which character from a video game who does not normally work in the food industry would you most trust to be your partner in opening a restaurant? And briefly, what would your restaurant's concept be? Bonus question. Which of your colleagues would you prefer to join you in running this restaurant? Rob is who I'd want joining me. No offense.
Yeah, but I feel like we can't choose Rob because I think that's too easy.
Then Cotto. No offense, Patrick. I would rather Rob. No, I would. I frankly, Rob and Cotto should open a restaurant.
Yeah,
steal
that
this money.
Maybe our takeaway.
Well, actually, I didn't want to I was worried this would come across weird. Like, what are we doing with the money? We're sinking it all into a restaurant.
We're opening up Waypoint Plus Cafe.
We're actually buying one of the Waypoint restaurants.
Yes. Oh. We were putting all that money in the pizza place that burned down that I like. We're just giving it all right to
Retro
Pizza
Cafe.
We're bringing it back, baby.
What are the? I forget. There's like, isn't there a term for like these like pop-up scam restaurants?
There
like
is.
Ghost kitchens.
Ghost kitchens. Yeah. But we're not a scam, okay? We're for real. Trust
we're
us.
Not like those other ghost kitchens.
Waypointplus.com. The money goes to a restaurant. Everybody gets pizza.
So, I think I am recruiting Jessie Faden for this quest. I think.
Oh,
one,
sure. Okay.
Her backstory. Jessie Faden's worked in food service. Like, Jessie Faden.
That's true.
Her whole itinerant journey before she gets to the Federal Bureau of Control, she definitely was like a line cook at some point. Yeah. Like, hands down. Second, like, what is the story of Control? If not, like, she shows up, sees a difficult, like, high-pressure situation, and just, like, you know, cleans that shit up. That she walks in there, the FBC was in the weeds, as they say, and she
cleaned it all up.
The service.
Yeah, totally. You could handle the cooking and, like, the chef-a-teering, the kind of coming up with all sorts of great new dishes and figuring out the menu. And Jessie could handle all of, like, the biz dev and making sure that you have all the right, you know, approvals and licenses and all that stuff. I agree with that. I agree with that. I would choose Guts from Berserk. And also someone in the chat says Kim Kitsuragi from Disco Elysium. Great answer. Kim would be a great business partner.
Oh, yeah. Yes. He'd run the books.
He, again, would absolutely make sure we don't get into any legal trouble or financial trouble.
He'd work it out.
He would work it out. Actually,
he would grumble. He'd grumble.
Harry and Kim open a restaurant. AU sounds incredible. Oh, I would absolutely go to the Disco Elysium diner in a second. So
he Guts could use his sword as a pizza paddle, and I am now. I'm also flashing back to Samurai Delicatessen.
Sure.
The immortal SNL bit.
But with Guts. Question. I have a potential food crime for you all. Brian writes in, am I the only one who prefers dipping a hamburger into ketchup each bite instead of putting ketchup on the burger under the bun? People I've told this to seem to think it's very weird, but it's good. Burgers are too dry otherwise. I know people who do this.
Why do both?
I think this is fine. I don't think this,
is not a crime.
Okay. I think that this is a deeply understandable food choice in the sense that I think that this just emerges from a natural urge of I want more ketchup on this.
I love ketchup.
Like, put the ketchup.
My instance to have too much of it is.
You know what I mean? I don't think that this is a hard one to unpack. I think this is a very natural
urge.
Well,
and also, we're missing something really important that Brian did here. Mm. There's no ketchup on the burger. Mm-hmm. Because this is another way you control. Like, one of the real issues with like burger construction is sometimes, especially if it's kind of a juicier burger, they can sometimes fall apart. There's like enough wet ingredients that like unless that bun's real sturdy.
It hasn't cohered. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of good reasons to maybe cut down on those condiments that you're putting on it. And like if you can just save some of that like hydration, put the ketchup on the side and like sort of daub it on. Oh, delicious.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with Brian. I'll do this. We should get a good burger when y'all are in town. I think that's should put
or
that on the list.
Well, obviously, or you know,
a few
I'll
good
just
burgers.
Be cooking them straight on.
Oh, can we just get a grill going on outside?
Yeah, I just want rock.
Fuck,
I just want
apron?
To hear, like,
oh,
get
please.
The studio's
I'm, like, trying to talk about some game, and all of a sudden I get like some hot oil. Like, ow,
yeah.
Rob.
Oh man, remember that time I started a small fire in the
I do.
E3
I do
mansion?
Remember. I do remember that. But also, do you
right
remember
as,
how good
right as Art arrived?
I do recall this. Yes. Did Art ever get back that cookware? Do we know?
So the person who's supposed to give it back to him reported that it was not as sturdy as it appeared and may have been destroyed in a related cooking accident.
I see.
However, basically, Art, I owe you a nice I owe you a nice roasting pan.
Please, yeah, okay, get in touch. You know how to contact each other.
Wait, we could, like, I want to, you know, does Waypoint Plus unlock? It won't be on this adventure, but, like, I want to make, can we go back to the podcast where we talked about different Waypoint sandwiches?
Oh, and make those sandwiches.
And make those sandwiches? I
want to
make the lasagna burrito.
Yeah. The lasagna burrito, for sure.
Oh, where we could, like, and then while things are in the oven, we could play games.
This sounds like a great time to me. Let's make this happen. We can make this happen. Hey, team, what's your go-to travel tumbler for coffee or tea? There's so many of them, and a lot of them are bad. I love this one from Kinto because it's compact, sleek, and works really well. And then in with an asterisk footnote, seriously, ice cubes don't melt in this thing. I love it in the same way I love a unique gadget or a good backpack. It feels like an extension of my personality, a way to express myself and show that I have good taste, LOL. Anyway, maybe a weird question, but I love it when you go deep on electric or specialty topics. And given your love for leather-bound laptops and stuff, I thought it was appropriate. Anyone have a tumbler or a similar special cold or hot beverage container that you love?
I will say, not usually, but like Nintendo sent this to me as a part of, like, you can't see
Money
this.
Hat.
You can see it on the stream.
This is a real conflict of interest situation.
I know. Well, I usually just, these things go to the Goodwill. If I get tricked into getting something in the mail because I think I have to agree to it to get a code. But this tumbler for, like, water, it's a really nice size.
Sure.
I like that it twists on.
Yeah.
It fits into – occasionally I've made the mistake of getting tumblers or water containers that don't fit in to, like, the spot in my car.
Yeah.
So then it's too big, so I'm throwing that on the floor and it's rolling around. And it's just a cool design. I like video game things that don't look like video game things.
Yeah.
Like this one,
I agree with that.
Fits the bill
really
well.
For sure, for sure. A thing that has happened – so mine is this Yeti tumbler that I have. Which I've had now for 6 months, something like that. And I really like it. And it does a thing of ice. I left, like, just some ice water in it overnight once, and I woke up and the ice was still in there. Which is, like, that's fucking, that rules. It was, like, still ice cold. And so a very funny thing has happened recently, which is I've gotten all of these emails from companies saying, or not from companies, from one person and a company that keeps saying, hey, we just added Yeti to our collection of customizable brands. I thought you might be into Vice Media Yeti tumblers. They make a great team summer gift. Want me to send you a catalog with product options?
Yes.
And then it does say, if you don't want to hear from us, let me know by clicking here. And I got four of these, including from just the company itself. I don't know why I'm on this, but I kind of think we should get these.
We just hit the moment where this is like, hey, dear...
Dear Rhodes, aka Sluder McGavin, we're doing it. We're making our own. We're gonna get you in. We're gonna get in contact with this person who's emailed me. Dear Annie, who's emailed me four times. Yes, I don't know.
Finally.
Jason,
can you reply to the first one you got though? Whatever is the oldest possible email.
Hey, I'm catching up on email. Just saw this.
doing that inbox zero thing.
God, exactly. Do you have one, Rob? Do you have your own brand that you
want to
suggest?
No, this is just related to the destruction of Art's cookie sheet.
Yes, go for it. Yeah.
So, just quick context here. The people who destroyed it, they are the people who helped me move out of LA back in 2017. Mm-hmm. I did the thing where I was like, I got this unlocked. I'll figure this out. I'll manage to do this all in, like, 12 hours before I need to be out of here and on a plane. And then the first thing I picked up, I fucked up my back, and I was like, uh-oh. So I called my buddy and his wife and was like, could you guys maybe help me move a little bit? And they did. They came in and basically, like, Mr. Wolfed my entire apartment situation. They got a lot of really nice shit out of an apartment I lived in for 1 year and inherited a lot of it, which was nice. Like,
yeah.
But also, they were total troopers. I did not see them again for a year until after E3. And I was like, after my beautiful day on the beach. Turns out, while I was walking back up from Venice, I mistimed it a little bit. And I really should have been back at the expo line about an hour and a half before I got there.
Yeah.
And so I was very late to dinner. But also, I had to give them, I was like, I ran out of time to give this roasting pan back to Art. Mm-hmm. So could you guys give this
to... Do that.
To... Yes, the same people. Yeah. I was like, hey, great to see you guys again. Missed you so much. By the way, here's another problem I need you to clean up because I'm leaving LA once again in the next, like, 8 hours. So here's this pan. And it just didn't survive the next broiling experience. But yeah, so that there's
special context. Wait. To be clear, then they used it, is what you're saying.
They did. They did.
But you think they earned that right by doing you a different favor earlier that day?
Also, they were, like... Well, I can't speak to my buddy, but his wife, Kate, she's a very good cook. Like, she says the thing just died in normal use. It died in normal use. Okay, I see. That Williams-Sonoma thing was, like, you know, it just wasn't meant for actual, like, heavy-duty cooking. It was
Wow. Okay. I'm going to move on.
Art, your cookie sheet was soft.
Wow. High waypoint, says Imran from Sugarland. I'm planning a trip to New York in September. I would like to hear from the non-New Yorkers of the group what I should do. I'm tired of hearing well-thought-out expert opinions. I specifically want to know what Patrick and Rob's to-do list looks like when they get to New York. Thanks for indulging me.
One, as an addendum to the last question,
yeah.
I have had the same messenger bag for probably 10-plus years. It's got holes in it. I could still use it.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to use this trip to New York as an excuse to finally buy a new
one. What brand
is it? So I'm out here.
Huh? What is it? What brand is it?
I don't know. I'd have to look. I don't even know off the top of my head. But I'm looking for suggestions. I need to buy something before
I really like Fossil bags a lot. Have I ever told you the story about...
That might be what I
have. Yeah, I have a decent Fossil bag now. I had one when I was in Canada. I had a messenger bag that was falling apart, and I was like, I think I just made some money from freelance writing, and it was like, I think I can fit this into my budget. Oh, well, I know. So I went to the JCPenney. I think it was JCPenney or Macy's, and I looked around at their bag selection, and I found one I really liked, and I checked, the online prices. I was like, you know, it's cheaper here with this special sale, because it's a sale for dads and grads. Father's Day's coming up. Let me get this on that special Father's Day sale. And I go up to the counter, and the woman who is ring me up says, oh, is this a gift for your dad? And I was like, yeah, because I didn't want to say no, because I just wanted to go with the flow. I was just like, yeah. And so I bought it, and then I get out the store, and I immediately threw mine out. And loaded my old messenger bag out, and immediately was like, I'm just going to use this now. This messenger bag is sick. Put all my stuff in it. And then I realized as I was finished loading things up, it still had one of those plastic, security alarm things on it, which didn't go out when I left the door through the door. And I couldn't get it off, so I had to go back in to find the register and ask her to remove it. And I had to be like, I guess it didn't.
I'm trying it out for him.
Just trying it out, yeah. Uh-huh. I was just like, I didn't say a word. I was just like, yeah, this thing had the thing on it. And that bag was good. I had that bag for years until I got that Destiny bag that they sent. Speaking of collusion.
I was gonna say, you're still using that one,
That
right?
one's still... No, no, no. I got rid of that one. That one okay. That one fucked up my shoulder for like 6 months because it had two weird straps they didn't fit all the way around a human body. As a crossbody bag, just as a shoulder strap single side bag, and so I clipped them together with these two metal hooks, and used that as a full body strap, and that just dug into my left shoulder for a year, and then I was like, my shoulder hurts quite a bit, And I'm gonna start wearing this the other way. And then like for 6 months, my shoulder continued to hurt because I'd done some sort of permanent damage from this piece of metal like drilling into my shoulder for a year. Treat your body all right, please, people. Don't be like me. Anyway, Patrick, so you're gonna go shopping. That's what you're gonna do. You're gonna go bag shopping.
Yeah, I'm gonna order it this weekend so I can get it in time for the trip. So yeah. If you got, you know, hit me up on Twitter if you got recommendations on cool messenger bags. And you know, I haven't bought one in a decade, so I guess I'm like prepared to spend like adult money on a bag that I'll have for 10 years.
Waypoint Plus money, baby. It's going right to Patrick's That's right. New messenger
I hope you
bag.
Know Waypoint Plus, it goes right into my PayPal. Yep. It's funny, like I have no opinion of New York because I don't have much of a sense of New York. Every time I come to New York, it has been as far back as when I started working for MTV. Mm. I went straight into Times Square and stayed at a hotel in Times Square because that's where MTV's offices were. When I have come in for Joel, I think just DM'd me on Discord with a messenger bag options.
That's classic Joel. Joel. I love Joel so much.
When I've come in for Kotaku, it was the same thing. I'm here for work. When I've come in for Vice, it's always like I'm here for work. Like especially once I had kids, it's like, well, I'm just here to do the thing I need to do. And I'm gonna out, and so I've just never gotten. When he's like, "What borough am I?" I was like, "I don't know." I was like, "Brooklyn." I don't know, man. I fly in. I take a cab to a place. I've never done the full like I'm gonna stay in New York, like spend a week there. Like, and maybe this will happen on this, like, if we do another, like, I don't know, September stream or something like that. I'm just pulling that out of my ass. Don't hold us to it. But, like, I would love
it's a leak.
To, like,
Patrick Klepek says we're doing a stream in September.
Something like that would fit, like, 3 months later, yada, yada. But like, an excuse to, like, bring my family out, like, go do that. I've never been to, like, Statue of Liberty. Like, I've never done any of those things. Like, that would be fun to do with. But I know you say, you don't
Rob
have to do it.
Rob is going
to
be more New Yorker than a New Yorker here, is the
That's
truth.
That's what I think. I think
I would say, like, the battery is Rob close enough.
Rob has, like, has the don't be a tourist, to be a traveler, like, tattooed on his bicep.
So, this is a little tricky because I don't know what's open right now. And I don't know what's going to be open later this year. Like, I mean, some places I loved are just gone. The Pegu Club closed during the pandemic. You know, it was a place that was a great place to get a drink. In general, like, I usually liked seeing some kind of show if there's anything cool on Broadway. That, like, it genuinely is a cool experience to go do. I like the New Museum a lot.
New Museum's sick, yeah. Sorry, yeah. I'm not supposed to talk.
No, I think, like, the museums, they're great. Go to them. Like, you know, they're worth visiting. In terms of, I like walking around the city a lot. Like, it's fun. If you, like, genuinely one of my happiest places is, like, just the long hike from, like, the Lower East Side down into, like, Brooklyn across the Manhattan Bridge. It's a nicer walk than either the Brooklyn Bridge or the Williamsburg Bridge. It's just nicer views. It's cool. In terms of places, like, I like to stop by, I think Prince Street Pizza is, like, just one of the best fucking pizzas in the world.
Prince Street's very good. Yeah.
So, like, my recommendation is, like, hit up some of the museums. They genuinely are worth it, and the special exhibits are always cool, and you'll see shit that, like, it's not just a part of the collection that will always be there. They rotate it through, and there's stuff that, like, is always worth catching before it's gone. But yeah, that's kind of my approach. I don't know what New York is going to be like this year. You know, when I did it a couple years ago, it was a lot of museums. It was taking in shows. It was going to, like, nice restaurants and bars. All of those things are up in the air as of right now. And in September, hopefully it's all back and we're living, you know, the high life. But I am really curious what the vibe in New York is going to be when I'm down there next week.
We're going to find out, and I'm excited to explore it with you. I think this is our final question at this point. So thank you everyone who has joined us today. thank you especially to Scott Mendenko on Twitter for this beautiful Waypoint Pizza for Everyone image that I've pulled up on the screen right now. What a beautiful pizza that looks like.
That's so good. Yeah. I want to eat this pizza.
I would like to eat this pizza. This has been a really a blast, and thank you for this. Again, this very successful first week of launching this. It is so vindicating and validating to know that y'all have our backs in a moment like this, to know that you're here to support us and let us do the work we want to do. We have been trying to make something like this happen for years and years now.
I doubt it. Like, when the number was thrown down and you were like, I think we can clear that, I was like, I think we could clear that 3 years ago, Austin. I'm not sure that, like, we're in that place.
Sure.
When we were 48 hours before launching this, I was, like, I think I drew this analogy. I was terrified that we were going to be like, we invited everyone to our birthday party, and then nobody shows up. I was just
totally,
utterly terrified.
How could anyone know, you know?
Yeah.
How are you supposed to know? So, but we did it, and we could not have done that without you, and we hope that we continue to make cool stuff for y'all to check out, and that you're excited as we are, and we'll be back next week with more regular Waypoint Radio, with all of the E3 coverage. I don't know, is that LA Noir thing going up next week? When is that going up, Rob?
Yeah, once Kata time is over, I think we'll be able to get that episode up. Somebody asked, should I replay LA Noir? Do you want to replay LA Noir? Right. I think the conversation will get you up to speed on the major plot beats. I don't think you need to go, like, shotgun this massive fucking game. One of the central points is, Cam and I both think that game is way too goddamn long.
It's very long. I was thinking someone had written in to be like, what's your dream game? And we will answer that question in a future Q&A. And I was going to talk about detective stories I really like. And what I was going to say is just the final, like, 6 hours of LA Noir, because there's like 25 other hours in that game, and dude, it just goes and goes and goes.
That was my pitch to Cam when I was like, it's worth doing retrospective because people remember a lot of like the mechanics of LA Noir, some of the lackluster first third of the game type stuff. It has a really strong finale that was worth seeing, and not enough people talk about it. So we did.
The end. We did. Talked about it.
And as soon as Kato's back, as soon as Kato descends from the mountains,
from Kato time,
then we will get that out the door on the Waypoint Plus feed.
And I'll probably end up putting this in the Waypoint Plus feed too. My guess is we're gonna do some stuff like that in general going forward. Some stuff that is like, we'll do it live on Twitch, and then an audio archive will go on to live in the Waypoint Plus feed. I think that mix of like free for everyone but archive for subscribers, it feels like a fun way to like give both do stuff that everyone can have access to for a little while. Obviously, the Twitch VOD will say, we're not going to take the Twitch VOD down. But
just live for 90 days.
I think something like that. Yeah, and then most Twitch people have been asking this earlier. I just want to be clear, things like Tactical Tuesdays are going to go live on YouTube again, which we mentioned already in this stream once, but I wanted to re-answer that one. Especially go back and listen to the beginning of the stream, or you know, if you have questions that you aren't sure if we answered, we answered a bunch of stuff up top, and we'll continue to answer stuff in the weeks to come. I would say stay tuned for post E3 for things to kind of settle into a schedule or a rhythm. Up until E3, a lot of things are going to be coming together, and even after that, there will be a beta period in which we're figuring things out. So don't expect us to be like immediately like boom, every Monday this, every Tuesday this, every Wednesday this, etc. We're going to figure all that as we're going, and that'll develop over the summer. Waypoint summer starts now, I guess.
Ooh,
Waypoint summer.
White boy summer.
It's a little too close to white boy.
Yeah,
summer.
I just got
you
real
say
nervous.
Under your breath if you go. Waypoint summer. People are like, what? Did you say white boy summer? And I have to say, absolutely not. I did not say that. Please don't associate me with that. Summer of Waypoint. Summer of Waypoint sounds better.
That's better.
Summer of Waypoint.
Goodbye, not Summer as... of Arcade. Hello, of Waypoint.
Summer of Waypoint. That's right.
Remember Summer of Arcade? Wow.
Remember Summer of Arcade? What were those games?
Cool.
What was in there?
A lot of great games.
Your arcade games.
I think Spelunky was one of them, wasn't it?
But that was later, right? That was a later summer
Everyday
of Arcade.
Shooter. Was one every, right?
Bastion?
No, because that was a PS3 game. I know, because when I got my PS3, I was like, "Damn, I want to play Everyday Shooter."
Castle Crashers, Limbo,
maybe that
Braid.
Was it. All right, first set: Limbo. Bionic Commando Rearmed, Braid,
Fez,
Castle Crashers, Galaga Legends, Geometry Wars Retro Evolve 2. That was the first one. Yeah, other big hits, yeah. Fez, Shadow Complex, Explosion Man, Trials, like Trials HD.
Yeah.
That Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light game, that was pretty cool. Limbo, Monday Night Combat was a big one. A bunch of games. Summer of Arcade, we're coming for you. Summer of Waypoint. Did someone just open a bottle? What was that sound?
Rob opened like a some sort of brown liquor, I believe, about half an hour ago.
Spirit, for sure.
Yeah, no, just having a little celebratory glum of an 18.
Okay, well, enjoy
that. We hit the number. Throwing out all the other only glum of an 18 from here, opening a restaurant, and just drinking this.
Waypoint Plus, we hit the number. We reported the news. Set in the tone of we reported the news. What just happened here? We hit the number.
What number? A good one.
A good one.
Vince McMahon, heavy breathing.
Aaron Sorkin presents the story of the WWE would be extremely watchable.
Oh my
content.
God. Oh shit. That's the greatest idea I've ever heard. Tom Hardy playing like three different people. And all
iconic wrestlers
in Sorkin pattern.
Yeah, over the ages. Oh, I want that now so bad.
Imagine, oh shit, he rewrites the pipe bomb speech.
Yeah, it's the CM Punk pipe bomb, but it's with all the Sorkin.
In this version, Cena talks back, and it turns into a dialogue.
Of course, right. It's more powerful that way. Dialogues are always more powerful than monologues. All right, we're going to end this podcast before we bring something hellish into existence. Thank you all, waypoint.vice.com for articles, waypointplus.com to subscribe, right here, twitch.tv/waypoint to watch. And again, come back next week, starting Friday, with some Waypoint E3 coverage. I'm going to be on some stuff next week. I'm going to guest on some stuff next week. That's all I'll say about that.
We're going to do one regular podcast, and then...
Right, on Monday, we're release Tuesday.
Right, and then the second podcast will be recorded as a part of this E3 stuff, right? That Friday morning.
That makes sense to me. Yes. So look forward to that.
Yeah.
Find me on Twitter, twitter.com/Austin_Walker. Where can people find you, Rob?
At Rob Zachney.
Patrick.
At Patrick Klopik.
Carrots in the chat. Waypoint Plus pizza for everyone. Waypointplus.com. I gotta load up some music to play us out. I was like, shit, I have to go back to the
carrots
intro card. Carrots in the chat.
This carrot thing that we've fallen on
is real. Do you know what I'm saying? It's real.
This is natural. It's organic.
Exactly.
We need to unlock the ability to spam more carrots in the chat.
That's a stretch goal. I agree with this.
The mods will please do not unlock more
carrots. Please
don't. Can
you please not unlock the carrots? Sorry. Listen, no. That's not true. Look, the mods are out here. Trash Dabby in the chat. Billion carrots.
Mod abuse.
This is what I love. I love to see. I love to see the carrots. All right, everybody. That's going to do it for us. Peace.
Nightbot working overtime.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.